TrishStratus.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Well Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match. And then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No. World tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by, of course, our lovely friends at PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, and they've got some awesome stuff, so go check it out. I think they still have CM Punk pictures, and I want one, except they don't have $100.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Damn. Joining us tonight is we actually have a full house.
We do.
We do. As you can hear, my faithful, awesome co-host is here and producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, I am here. I am here, ready to have some fun tonight.
Woohoo! We also have, of course, our awesome friend from Australia, Mace.
Who has a CM Punk photo that cost him nothing.
Shut
and
up.
And a sign, too.
Shut up. Just because you got to meet him and you failed to shove him in a box and send him to us, doesn't mean you get to brag.
There was a bit of an issue with, you know, security and the fact that he quite possibly could have whooped my ass.
And
the fact that at the time the guys from THQ I knew quite well and I wanted to keep that relationship going.
And when Mace puts things in the box, he doesn't send them.
This is true.
Yeah.
So does that make Mace the Australian Tim Stein?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not because I'm cheap, it's because shipping is extremely expensive to the U.S.
That's another way of saying you're cheap. Anyway.
Moving on, we also have with us the loudmouth assassin, the man formerly known as Spug, now known as Bruiser Schmidt.
And a plethora of other names.
Yeah, well, we can't say those on air.
You sure?
True.
You sure?
True. I'm having a bad night. I got kicked out of a rec center.
How did you get kicked out of the rec center? Wait, never mind. I don't want to know.
Me and three wrestler buddies started pulling out gymnastics mats and working.
Really?
Dead serious.
We just can't take y'all anywhere, can we?
Nope.
No wonder he's no longer part of this network.
And I told the guy who came over and got hot with us, like, he didn't even come over and he wasn't even an adult about it. He just came over and started yelling. I told him he could suck my dick. So.
Wow.
Such a diplomat.
Way to keep this relationship.
Don't come over at me and start yelling. You don't want me to get hot? Then just come over and be cool.
Well, the dude's an asshole. Yeah, but you kill him with kindness.
No, this dude, alright, this isn't the first time I've had issues with this guy. There are two racks on the one wall for deadlifts, squats, stuff like that. And they push him up so tight against the wall that you can't get a bench in there to do incline benches. So people will flip him around. I happened to be over by one of them one time, and a dude comes up just starts yelling at me about, you can't move that, you can't flip that around, you're ripping up the floor. I'm like, I didn't touch it. Oh yeah, prove it. I'm like, dude, I didn't touch it. And he got all hot and like started yelling, and I told him then to suck my dick. So yeah, the guy can fuck him.
Wow. Well, that just adds to the excitement of the night, doesn't it?
I thought that what's bugging us is at the end of the show.
Well, true, but we'll get Spugs out of the way early.
I didn't know we did that at the end of the show. My bad.
We have a format on the show, so, you know.
Yeah, we actually have a segment dedicated to just, you know, ranting and complaining and bemoaning things. But I'm sure you have other things you can complain about, right?
I'm so glad this show actually has a format.
Oh, we do. We spend hours working on it.
In between, you know, constantly BSing and me figuring out my USB headset won't let me broadcast. Anyway!
Yeah.
Like I said, we got a jam-packed show tonight. Huh?
You guys just spent hours on your format? Just hours?
Just hours.
That's all it takes for an award-winning show? Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along.
Yes, we did. We have to wear that. Put that in. We are award winning. We have a question of the night, and it's Valentine's Day themed. By the way, yes, happy Valentine's Day if you're married, and happy re-emphasis on the fact that you're single and the night before Half Price Candy Day to everybody else. Right?
Yes.
Right. And that came out way more bitter than I meant it to.
Fuck Valentine's Day.
But because it is Valentine's Day, we have a couple of questions tonight. One of them that we really didn't get responses from, except for one. What is your favorite Valentine's Day treat? But the other...
Come on, people! That's the best part of Valentine's Day! You couldn't respond? Bastard. Anyway, continue.
And the other, what is your favorite wrestling couple?
Ooh, alright.
Yes. And I'm going to throw this out there now. We're going to have a very special edition of Tweet of the Week.
Yes, we are. Instead of us picking our own tweets, there is actually a hashtag. It is amazing, and we're just going to read through some of the better tweets. And that is our dedication to Valentine's Day. So the questions of the night and the Tweet of the Week are our Valentine's Day theme. The rest is business as usual.
Yes.
But, well, something isn't business as usual over at the WWE, is it?
No, it's not.
It would
seem... Wait, you mean they're being creative?
No, not that.
Well, then it is business as usual.
Well, not in this case, because, Sonny sort of made somebody mad over there because this story broke last night. She has been cut off from any additional rehab due to her comments made in a shoot video and her previous behavior in rehab.
Yeah, she spoke up and, yeah, should have never done that. She goes on the air with Sean Oliver of Kayfabe Commentaries talking about how, you know, WWE is no longer paying for her rehab and that also, you know, she lies in any interview she ever does.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, she talked about her time in prison and, that's a good one. She talked about her time in prison, and it's up to you if you want to believe her or not. I sort of don't at times, But, yeah, go check it out at kayfabecommentaries.com. You can get all the information. It's an interesting shoot interview, but, yeah. She's usually full of BS, and WWE's had enough, because, you know, she's not Scott Hall.
Yeah, she made a comment to them that, well, you know, you spent Scott Hall to rehab numerous times, and it's never taken. Why are you cutting me off? And basically the response to her was, well, you're not Scott Hall. She basically took issue with the fact that she was in about $1,000, I guess, a day rehab center during Linda McMahon's Senate campaign. And then after the fact, at some point, she was moved from the $1,000 rehab center to a $100 rehab center with ex-cons and felons, and she didn't care for that and felt, you know, that she should have better, and so she requested that they move her, and they didn't.
Yeah, I got kicked out of the nice one. So, you know, WWE gave her one option, and it was either go here or we do nothing for you, and, well, she went there, and she didn't like it.
Yeah, you know, she's mashing sour.
There's always this concept known as tough love. I realize, like, I've had people that have gone into American mental facilities and stuff like that. They're not happy places.
No.
But sometimes you need to take the tough love, and to be honest, in a situation like Sunny, she was definitely running out of choices. So take the lowest, most degrading one you can, or please hurry up and dig yourself that 6-foot hole. And of course, Bug's going to tell me I'm wrong, so let's go.
Okay, you can be an asshole about it already, fuckface.
Boys, let's play nice.
Oh, come on, you know he and I'll hug and make up and spoon and everything after the show.
We will.
Yes, but let's play nice on the show.
I am playing nice. All I was going to say was it doesn't always work that way. Addicts are a very funny and fickle group. I have a sister-in-law who is a psychologist for an addiction center. So she, there are some that tough love works with. There are others that you have to baby and bring along every step of the way because of issues that they've had. There's only one way to fix this. For WWE. And quite honestly, like, the poster child is sitting right there in front of them.
Well, I was going to bring that up. I was going to kind of wait a little bit and just... But we can go ahead and go into that. What Spug's talking about is, if you haven't seen it, DDP, bless his heart, and I mean that in the nice way, not the mean way, has taken on Jake Roberts. He has cleaned him up, and he has done absolute wonders with him. We'll post a link, I guess. I don't have the link to DDP's YouTube, but if you look up DDP and Jake Roberts
It's on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Okay. If you go there and you watch the videos with Jake and you just see Jake's improvement, it's absolutely amazing what DDP has done with him. But the real test, I think, would be winning Jake off the program, because he's fine right now because Paige is right there. But what happens when he goes out into the real world? I think that's the question.
I don't think that he's ready for that yet. I think...
Oh, no, not a long shot.
Maybe 90 or 100 days sober, or, you know what I mean?
I give him four. I'd finish it off at 4 months and then maybe, you know, slowly work him back into, you know.
Well, you remember what happened the last time that he tried to go out on his own?
It didn't work so well.
And it didn't work so well. Jake, I don't know if you cut it off at 120 days or whatever. I think, however, you can do little things here and there. Go out to dinner in a public place with people who may be having a drink or two at dinner.
Give him a weekend pass of some sort.
Well, they've already kind of started doing that. If you watch the video where... I think the video that Rocks got up on the Facebook group is where they call Scott Hall.
Yes.
Yes.
Jake mentions that Paige had alcohol out at Christmas, and Jake didn't want any. He said it smelled awful. So that's a positive sign, but it's more Jake being on his own, because I don't think DDP will ever let him be by himself. But it's eventually Jake will have to move out and he'll have to move on with his life. They can't live together forever. Maybe they can. I don't know.
No, but I brought this up. I've brought this up before. WWE doesn't need to keep spending thousands of dollars a day to send multiple individuals to rehab. You can create an environment in an area that is visually appealing because, you know, some of these rehab centers that are, you know, $100 a day or whatever are brick, mortar, cinder block, and, you know, just depressing, right?
Yeah, that's the one she went to. It was, you know, with bars on the windows, etc.
Right.
But then you see the commercial for, like, Passages Malibu, mm-hmm. where the guy's like, I was an addict for 10 years. Now I'm not. Well, yeah, you are. Because that's how addiction works. Once an addict, always an addict. You can just control your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can find a mixture in between of Passages to the down to business, you know, bars and mortar. You have to give these people an area and an atmosphere that they can concentrate and de-stress their brain and concentrate on getting mentally and physically better.
Right.
And if you have someone like DDP who is taking individuals and understands, that's the even bigger thing, is he gets it because he lived it.
Mm-hmm. He knows what they're going through.
Oh, and I 100% agree. It's just I think he needs to have a fully proven track record before they make that investment. Because, sure, right now, everything's fine with Jake, and I pray to God everything stays fine with Jake and that he's on the road to recovery, and they can potentially do the same thing for Scott Hall. And he can potentially do the same thing for others, but I don't think they're going to invest money in something that is entirely unproven. At least the rehab centers that they're sending people to now do have a somewhat proven track record, even if it doesn't work with everybody.
And the funny thing is I can understand that sentiment. The sad thing about rehab, though, is that even the best rehab centers across the country have a less than 60% success ratio.
Right, but right now, Paige has none.
I wouldn't say he has none. He's taken an individual who was pretty close to death.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at pictures from when this started till now, and you can see a marked improvement. I'm not saying that WWE throw DDP millions of dollars.
Right. But,
if
help him out a little bit.
A small investment might not be out of the question because of the work he's done with Jake. And if you look at people like Sonny, like, you know, Tammy Sitch, like Scott Hall, others who were are on that path, that very dark, lonely path, and DDP understands where they're at, that might be the breakthrough that they need.
And I can see that, but they also say it in the video. You've got to want it. You've got to want to get well. You've got to want to overcome it. And if they don't want to do that, then there's, I don't think in any stage, anything Paige can do to help them.
And especially with Scott Hall, he said multiple times he's wanted help, and he's never, you know, followed through with it fully.
Right.
No.
Which is really sad when it comes to him.
No, and I look at it this way. Like, I don't think there's a right answer for this topic. I think everybody is right in their own way. I'll stick with this. there's a situation that comes about in everybody's life where anyone that they turn to, almost everyone that they turn to doesn't have the capability to help them in the way that they're looking for. Then you find that one person who understands where you're at, and you make remarkable breakthroughs. I think maybe in Scott Hall's situation, maybe he really does want the help, but when you're talking to guys like Dr. Drew or other psychiatrists and or psychologists or whomever, whatever the term you need is, and addiction counselors and addiction specialists, they understand the demons and the chemical and physical repercussions of the addiction, and even the emotional to an extent, but they don't know or cannot get inside your brain enough to understand where it started. You know, guys like DDP or Jake who live that road and were in, because I was just watching the DVD a little bit ago, Tupelo, Mississippi on a Monday night, and then Evansville, Indiana on Tuesday, and then in Georgia on Wednesday, and then in Richmond on Friday, and maybe had 5 hours of sleep in that, you know, 5-day period, and got through it on coke, booze, and greenies. Mm-hmm. You know, guys who are in the business will understand that. Maybe that's the breakthrough that some of these individuals need. Is not an addiction specialist, but someone who was in the business and lived it and knew it and can help them break that vicious cycle.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I was waiting for Lindsay to, you know, take over. And
move. Sorry, I hit the mute button.
conversation along, being the you know, host of the show.
I'm sitting here talking and nobody's hearing me. I would agree with that 100% that, you know, some people do need that person to just knock them on the head, but at the same time, I will go back to the point of they still have to want it. And it, you know, it doesn't matter how much, like I said, DDP understands. It doesn't matter how much he's walked that road. If that person doesn't want it, they're not gonna do anything with it.
This is true.
And I hope to God that he can get Scott Hall to come in. I hope to God that they can help him, because I think Paige and Jake together could do wonders for Scott. I really do. I just hope Scott takes them up on the offer, because if you listen to him on that phone call, it is absolutely heartbreaking to hear him.
I told Rock this. I think in the very near future we are going to see a headline about Scott Hall no longer being with us.
Yeah, but we always say this every year though, so he's still
trucking. He's still there, but if you listen to that phone call.
Oh, I know.
And I don't know how much of it, because it was obviously edited, the video was.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that phone call was a work. For lack of a better term. Because you can take the most emotional and heart-wrenching parts and put it all together, and then there could be other parts of the phone call where he's just lucid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said it to you a couple of times. He's extremely intoxicated in that video, like in that phone call.
I know.
You can hear it.
He was even saying he was.
Yeah, right. He said all he had for breakfast was vodka. All he'd been drinking was vodka.
So hopefully, as the video says, to be continued on that story.
But yes, then all I can say for Sonny is don't bite the hand that feeds you.
This is really true. In other news, there's some details coming out about someone's, you know, love life.
Oh, Are you referring to the kayfabe story where, you know, it's John Cena supposedly linked to Ron Jeremy and there's some scandalous photos?
Yeah, that story, yeah.
Oh.
Apparently there's photos of, you know, Ron Jeremy posing with John Cena's title belt. And, you know, they're having a secret love affair.
You sure that's Ron Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture right there of, you know, Ron
it's
Jeremy.
It's totally Ron Jeremy.
It's Ron Jeremy posing with the WWE Championship. He's linked romantically to one John Cena.
We have an unconfirmed report, which basically means it's totally not true. John Cena is linked to Ron Jeremy.
I thought you were talking about Kendra Lust.
Well, we're getting ready to.
Yeah.
I got all excited when you were like, oh, you mean that? I was like, oh, this made me laugh all morning long. And then you're like, Ron, I was like, oh.
No. The real story, apparently he's linked to a porn star and he was cheating with her. Kendra Lust, was it?
Yes, Kendra Lust. To which somebody came up with the greatest meme ever of CM Punk sitting there doing air quotes, and then everybody went up and looked up Kendra Lust just for reference or for information or something like that.
I'm not going to lie. I critiqued some of her work today. Not that good.
Did you see the pictures of her with the WWE belt?
I did. And, like, if she ever wanted to deny, or John Cena ever wanted to deny that didn't happen, why don't you take down the jersey that you wore at WrestleMania? You know, the framed one in the back.
Yeah, not the smartest of moves on John Cena's part. Although, I have to wonder, what's worse, the fact that it got covered up? Because the story going around is that if you follow the divorce, like of course I did because I'm a girl and I love gossip, if you follow the divorce, there was a story that came out that Liz Cena basically accused him of cheating, and then nothing came of it afterwards, and the divorce was pretty much kept quiet. It was very hush-hush, and it dragged out, and it dragged out, and then bam, they were divorced. So it was, okay, well, I guess, you know, that cheating thing was unsubstantiated, and then, of course, you know, Kenny Dykstra gets out online, and he accuses Cena of sleeping with a whole bunch of women, but, you know, of course, it's Kenny Dykstra, so we all take it with a grain of salt.
Who's now apparently an author?
Yes, he's authored a children's book. They will publish anybody now. and now we really have pretty much unsubstantiated proof between the two that they did, in fact, have some kind of affair or some kind of something because, well, she's walking around in her underwear with the WWE title. In pictures.
There's one of her naked with the WWE title.
I didn't see that one. I only saw the one with her and her bra and panties and thigh highs.
No, there's one of her naked with the title. And that's the one where the jersey's in the background. That's what I'm trying to find.
Well, I have to wonder,
Because that's the only one that seems to not make it to the news sites, because the other ones, it just looks like she's got her hands on a replica.
Yeah.
No, this one is her. It's the belt. It's got his name tag on it, the nameplate, and like the photos of
that's the other thing. You basically brought up a very good spot there. The name tag with the two photos that have been floating around the news sites, there is no name tag. It is blank. That is
right.
A replica belt.
It's a replica belt, but the one of her...
No, those things are extremely pain in the ass to try and get put on or taken off. Trust me, I've tried to do that with replica belts in the past. It is pain to do it yourself.
But
plus,
like,
that
the
one looks like it spins.
Yeah. The picture that was on Facebook this morning, I wish I had my phone. I'd go back in my timeline and try and find it. Is her, it's a meme of her with the belt, and she's naked. The belt's kind of covering her boobs, and there's the John Cena jersey in the background. And I'm like, I was just like at 8:30 in the morning after you slept for like 5 hours, and you just wake up to that. You're kind of like, what the, huh?
Well, I have to ask, just because I'm more curious than anything else, which is worse, the fact that he had the affair with a porn star, which is essentially like riding the town bike, or the fact that WWE covered it up?
You didn't think that they were gonna, that they weren't, that, you didn't think they weren't gonna cover it up?
Well, I figured they were gonna cover it up. We figured that anything with that divorce was gonna be kept very hush-hush, and it was, but it's, everything gets out as we've seen. And I forget how this got out. It's, somebody found it? Did somebody find the tweets between them? Is that how it happened, or did somebody leak it?
I'm not positive. It might have been someone who found their tweets and put it out there, sent it to the news sites.
Because basically the story going around is that Liz Cena and Kendra Lesser paid off to basically be quiet during the whole situation, and Kendra Lesser was paid to delete the tweets and hide the pictures. Obviously that didn't happen. But I mean, even if the pictures of her in her underwear got out, they could do like May said, and it's a replica. And all she has to say is a replica. There's no proof that Cena took the picture. Because she's just in somebody's basement somewhere. Because, yes, I am looking at them now.
Because the photos that seem to be the easy ones to find, they're very easily deniable.
I think that's the one Spug was talking about.
How is it you found it before him?
Because I'm digging through my Facebook feed right now. That one, right there, that's the pic.
That could be anybody's house.
Yeah, it could, dude.
That could be her house, for all we know. That's the thing. Every single one of these pictures is easily deniable. There is nothing.
And why would he have a Hulk Hogan, you know, thing in the background too?
Oh, dude, wrestlers are fucking the biggest marks on the planet. You'd be surprised how many wrestlers actually decorate their house with other people's wrestling shit.
I don't know, it just seems weird. Yeah, would have a
just because The Rock's only memorabilia to his wrestling is every title belt that he's held in one shiny case doesn't mean that other wrestlers aren't like other wrestlers, you know?
You want to talk about marks. Wrestlers are the biggest marks on the planet. For each other. Oh, yeah. You find a wrestler you like, you're going to wear his gear. It happened.
But yeah, like I said, all three of these photos that we've been held now, every single one of them is easily deniable. None of the belts are actually what you could consider Cena's belt. There is nothing to indicate that it is Cena's belt. Because every single one of them is a replica.
But they're given replicas.
Yes, but the replicas also have the nameplates, though. The replicas that they get are not blank. That's how you get them from, like, high spots. Unless you specially order the plate as well.
Well, maybe she's just a big wrestling fan. I don't know.
Exactly! That could be it. And that's the thing that nobody's taken into account, is that she's just a wrestling fan.
Let's expose
the guy. She could be a rat for all we know.
I love you, Lindsay, but most women who go to wrestling shows are
not it.
It wasn't Lindsay who said that.
No, I know,
but I know where Spug was going with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know exactly where Spug was going with that. But yeah, not it. Thought about it, but not it.
Lindsay gets the boys to rat out for her.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because she's the hashtag favorite.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
She's bigger than the business.
Wow. Anyway, back to the original conversation, which was, did or did John Cena not have the affair? We don't know. Yes. It's all unproven. There's tweets, there's pictures, there's nobody saying anything. So it's, at this allegedly. Point it's... Huh?
Allegedly, he had the affair, allegedly.
Yeah, we gotta do the air quotes, allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. Which, you know, honestly, as often as he's gone, and maybe this is just me and the way that I perceive wrestlers, but as often as he's gone, and the fact that he's never home, I really can't judge Cena for having an affair on the road, whether it's with a porn star or a diva or a rat or whatever. You know, he's never home. He's on the road constantly. The poor guy's got to get some eventually.
Hey, if that's the road pussy he's getting, he can't do that, but can't do much worse.
Well, he is John Cena.
Exactly.
But
everybody's going to jump on Lita like Sam Punk does.
Listen,
go to xnxx.com and just review some of her work for film critique purposes. Not that impressive.
We'll do that after the show, dude.
Oh, we just take your word for it.
Yeah, we're not watching porn on the air. This is a family show.
Yeah, it's Saturday nights.
Midnight Ash, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, God, best photo ever, yeah. Where's Omega when we need him to do the imitation?
I know, he's like the only one not on this show.
Because he's recording. He's busy. He's too big for us.
You sure?
Yeah, he's actually hashtag bigger than the business, not me.
Yeah, that's true. He only likes to hang out with us once a week. Mr. Sunday
Night. I'm never gonna live that down, am I?
No, you're not.
I don't like Wally Farouk. I'm never gonna live that one down either.
No. He's Mr. Sunday Night. He would never appear on a show on Thursday nights.
Well, we have to bait him.
We do.
Oh,
you know,
yes!
I was going to call in because Mace is stealing my Alita joke shtick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the Omega, we once again baited him on the show. Why were you listening anyway? Aren't you supposed to be podcasting?
It's every other Thursday.
Every other Thursday, so now we could, you know, ask you every other Thursday to be on this show. I see how this is.
It was never a secret.
Every time we asked you, I'm busy, I'm podcasting.
Well, you called on the wrong weeks, didn't you?
I don't know.
I fail to see how that's my fault.
You have to provide us with your schedule.
Listen, Omega's Transformer masturbation schedule is not his fault. It's something that you should be aware of and plan around accordingly.
He changes it. It's not my fault.
I have to keep it interesting.
He does it secretly.
Because there's only so many ways you can have sex with a robot.
Speaking of
shape-changing robots, you'd be surprised.
Speaking of having sex with a robot, THQ has officially lost the WWE rights. It's officially gone to Take-Two.
What does that have to do with with robots?
We needed a transition, quiet!
Robots.
We're trying to get it back on the rails.
He said sex with a robot, so I thought he was going to start playing dubstep.
I was trying to transition out of it. You know.
There's no clean way out of that. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. We're completely, totally, officially off the rails. But anyway, moving on, yes. THQ has officially lost the rights to Take-Two, and what's an interesting development is that THQ has also handed over the development, or is working to hand over the development, to Take-Two as well. So our good buddy Brian Williams may not be out of a job.
No, he might not be.
Okay. Let me redo this, because you got your facts all sorts of wrong. First of all, the separation happened between THQ and Yuke's. That partnership has since devolved.
Yes.
Or dissolved. Take-Two has taken over the licensing of the WWE, like for the games. They have also hired on part of the development team, which means Brian probably has a new job. And also, WWE only got $650,000 for any games that have been sold since the THQ bankruptcy began. That's the story.
Yes, yes. I have
facts. Get them straight, people.
Yeah, I was transitioning out of, you know, where we were. I was pulling up the story, so hush. Yes, there are now...
You have two very experienced game-playing people on the show right now. You couldn't have asked one of us.
I was going to, you know, pitch it to you guys, but you just jumped the gun.
Well, you know, we weren't expecting you to be on the show. We don't plan this with y'all on it.
We do that Sundays, and then, you know, I come up with a geek topic, and we don't do a show. So we'll do it this Sunday, a geek topic on WTR. You've been warned.
Oh, this Sunday, Omega and I are suddenly busy.
I've got another podcast, I'm sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're working on another network now?
Could.
We know of anywhere you can go. They like people like you.
What does that mean?
You sure do have a pretty mouth.
You know what? No, not tonight. You don't know what I watched tonight, okay? I don't want to hear that line.
Oh, did you watch Deliverance?
Hell no!
The worst thing is he told me what he watches. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
yes,
he heard
scary.
It. He heard it.
All right, well, we'll get away from the scary. We'll move on to a safe topic that's non-geek that I won't get yelled at for.
Oh, we'll be the judge of that.
We weren't yelling at you. We were yelling at your producer. He should know better. He's been producing this show long enough. It's not
the host's
fault. It's his fault.
Uh-huh, sure.
It's Slappy's fault.
It's Slappy's fault. Well, I guess we can call the IOC Slappy now because, and that's not Internet Online Community, it's International Olympic Committee. One of the other big stories that broke this week is that as of 2020 wrestling, not professional, the other kind, you know, the Greco-Roman kind.
The one where they fill each other up.
Yeah, that kind.
They win with broken freaking necks.
Yes.
It's true, it's true.
That kind will be dropped from the games, to which I want to say, why?
To make room for more trampolining.
So, here, the backstory of it is that the people who voted on this, the countries, well, they're not big into the whole wrestling thing. So those guys on the committee, they're now on the committee this time around, and they're the ones who decide to axe wrestling from the Olympics. That's basically
so USA is controlling the Olympics now?
No. I can't remember where, but it was... Actually, it was your fault, Mace. Australia.
Fuck off! I never fucking had a thing to do with any Olympics in my life.
Australia voted against having wrestling in the Olympics.
Yeah, but our country is fucked up anyway, so that doesn't strike me in the slightest.
I think your nation just declared that Australian wrestlers suck, Mace.
No shit.
We can't have them in the Olympics. They just embarrass us. Mate.
Would have been more amusing if it was Canada that voted out wrestling.
They may have. All I know is if the USA and Russia had any say in it, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, Russia, USA, Canada, I think they're all getting together and trying to petition it back into the Olympics. I believe there's a date in May, not May 19th, but a date in May where they can appeal it. And we'll know for sure.
Yes, and some other people who are appealing it within the wrestling community, yes, Mr. Froken Brinkenneck himself, Kurt Angle is in fact appealing it. He is imploring that the IOC restore wrestling to the Olympics. Several other wrestlers, I believe, are also imploring that they do that as well. I know Angle has a hashtag, and Impact Wrestling is joining him in this, and it's #SaveWrestling.
They showed it on Impact Wrestling.
Save Olympic Wrestling. I was going to say, they showed it on Impact tonight. I forgot to write it down. But yeah, it's Impact Wrestling is imploring, Kurt Angle's imploring, they're trying to get WWE involved as well, just because the implications that this could have if it's dropped and it's not picked back up in 2024 could be huge.
Well, because it's also the fact that they're essentially fucking with thousands of years of tradition, because as anybody who went through early high school history knows, that the Olympics was originally based in Greece, where, of course, Greco-Roman wrestling was one of the original sports. So to take out something that's been so long and traditional as wrestling in the Olympics either shows that we're becoming soft as a world, or they're just really fucking stupid.
Considering one of the Olympic events is still around is that little stupid little ribbon performance thing, I'd say the former is probably more accurate.
Rhythmic gymnastics. Oh my god, why is that? That's not even a sport. Why is it an Olympic?
Why the fuck do you even know that, Rock? Hand in your man card.
Because
you pussy bitch.
Because they talked about it on ESPN and how that wasn't a sport.
By the way,
no, it's called fucking with a ribbon.
By the way, I wish Bug was still here because I would like to yell at him for messing with equestrian. Equestrian is a sport. You try holding on to a 1,200-pound animal with just your legs, especially when it's flying through the air. It's not
holding tongue,
easy.
Holding tongue. Holding tongue.
Speak.
No.
Speak.
Do no. It. Say
I
it.
Say. I'm being nicer.
Type it in the chat.
No.
Otherwise, it will come out in other forms later.
You don't want us to hurt you Sunday, so...
Actually, I don't have a joke. Holding the tongue was the joke.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there was one there somewhere.
I was really expecting a lead a joke out of you. I'm most disappointed.
Apparently, roller sports and squash are being considered for the new bids into the Olympics.
Wait, they're going to put roller derby in place of wrestling?
if they do that...
Because that's totally legitimate.
Hey, roller derby's actually not that bad to watch.
I don't know if it's roller derby, they said roller sports.
Roller sports, so that might be rollerblading.
Yeah.
You know, the one that the X game, it's too boring to show on the X games anymore.
You know what, let's just turn the Olympics into guts and be done with it.
I know.
Oh my god. Usain Bolt has won the Astro Crag.
Yes!
And they added, golf.
Okay, now here's the...
Okay, great. So they're going to need twice as much land now just to get the damn golf course in.
Mm-hmm. Now here's the question. Can professional golfers play, or does it have to be non-professionals?
I don't know.
Can it be putt-putt golf?
Oh, putt-putt golf would be awesome.
God.
Dude, see, then we could be Olympians.
Because it's normal golf is just way too boring and takes way too goddamn long. I want to see an athlete fuck with a windmill for an hour.
Wow, that came out wrong. Or at least in my head it did.
Professionals can...
She's still hung up on the horse.
Yes, she is. Professional golfers could compete in the Olympics.
So basically...
Can fuck women in other countries now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So basically they're trying to pull in more money potentially by bringing in golfers, professional golfers, that people will come pay to see. This is just a money grab. This is all this is. Wrestling and tradition got sacrificed for money. Why am I not surprised?
And TV ratings.
And TV ratings.
Because wrestling doesn't draw.
That's kind of shocking.
Well, you know, if you put Vince McMahon in charge of wrestling...
Or even Dixie Carter.
Or Dixie Carter in charge of wrestling, it would be much better. We would get music and pyrotechnics. And James Storm.
I still
our heroic athlete from Canada now accepting the gold medal and the silver places. Hit him with the steel chair. Oh my God, King. Oh my God.
But I will say, just to sort of bring this to a close, because I know we're getting ready to go to break, the best reaction, of course, came from the man that we expected this from, and I wouldn't be surprised if we pull this up later in the night during Tweet of the Week. But the Iron Sheik's comments.
Oh, his comments were fantastic. They were absolutely amazing.
You always, the second this news broke, everybody's just turned around and gone, what the hell is Sheiky going to say? Sheiky Baby's got a comment, and boy, did he not disappoint.
Oh, no, he went off, and he went off in a big, big, big way. And actually, we're not talking about him in Tweet of the Week, but if you want to use them for yours, you are certainly more than welcome.
I've got other things.
Alrighty. Well, in that case, we are going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, Rock and I will be talking all about TNA Impact tonight, and of course, Wes Briscoe. Because, yes, he was on twice!
Lindsay has a... yeah.
I have a crush. I'm sorry. I would do bad.
Another one.
Yes. This one. There is another one.
Yeah. She has a few new ones now that you're unaware of.
The list is growing, Omega. So anyway, you are listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
Late in the hot joints, taking the pill, and walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, "Well, Ely, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Will Ely. If you've got a warrant, just to read it to me. Shut her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more."
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
It's fresh than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Showtime, Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm off chain.
welcome back to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com, who is bringing us our Impact results tonight, and Mem Lane Promo, or Memorabilia Lane, .com.
MemLanePromo.com?
Yes, sorry. MemLanePromo.com, but Memorabilia Lane. Again, if you want to buy awesome stuffs, particularly signed pictures, go check them out because they are awesome.
You should follow them on Twitter at Memorabilia Lane. They put up deals all the time, so check them out at Memorabilia Lane on the Twitters.
And they also give away free stuff on the Twitters too.
Yes, they do. So check them out. Follow them.
Yes, follow them. They're amazing. And they are also going to be bringing us our prize for our Elimination Chamber Pick'em later, but we'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we get to talk all about tonight's Impact.
Yes, we do, and we'll get insight analysis from both Mace and Omega, because we know they watch.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
Impact was on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's all the input I have. Back to you.
Thank you. Anyway, continue, Lindsay.
Anyway, we open the show where they are once again live from Wembley Arena in London, England. I believe we have this weekend, next weekend, and then they are back in the States.
Yep.
But I still say it still looks impressive as hell when they're in London. Just have the ring in the center of all that throng of people. It's amazing.
Hell, it impressed Tim Stein, who saw the show tonight.
Oh, Tim Stein watched Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, he's the only one on that hasn't come on yet, so.
Yeah, but he's off in a hotel room. Or a motel room by himself, so.
Oh, maybe we should send him a hooker since it's Valentine's Day.
Hey, so Tim is alone in a hotel room on Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's worse, we're all sitting on the phone talking about wrestling on Valentine's
I'm talking to a girl. Okay?
Even though we're talking about nothing to do with Valentine's Day, we're talking wrestling. It's still better than sitting alone in a hotel room.
I'm sorry, Tim. That's one of the saddest things I've heard.
Wow.
You know he's going to kill you, right?
Probably.
Well, he's got to hear this, and we know he's not listening, so.
I don't know. We'll see. See if he responds.
Rock!
No, he was in our chat room, so I don't know if he's listening or not.
Yeah, well,
anyway, continue.
Yes, continuing on, we're live once again, or live, in quotations, from Wembley Arena in London, England, and to open the show tonight, well, we get the Hulkster. He comes out, and he basically soaks up the crowd response, enjoying it, before opening by saying that it's safe to say there are some TNA maniacs in London. Hogan said he... What?
I said brother.
Brother. Yes. Hogan said he heard noise when he was slamming giants and winning titles, but this is pretty damn sweet, brother. But it's time for business. Hogan said he has a couple of big things tonight. First, the fate of the TNA title at Lockdown. Yes, that awesome pay-per-view that's coming up in March from San Antonio, which it was kind of awesome that there wasn't a pay-per-view that, like, we're building to it and you actually kind of want to see it.
I know. It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, amazing what happens when you cut out a pay-per-view that nobody cares about. he said that there's so many hungry wolves in the back, and he selected best the eight... Blah, blah, blah. Great, already screwed it up. Wonderful! Yeah! Take two. He selected eight of the best to determine...
You won an award?
I won an award, yes. Eight of the best to determine the number one contender at Lockdown, which again, I have to applaud, because wow, it's a number one contendership! Match, tournament, thing.
It's more everything. Of, let's impress Hulk Hogan. It's not a tournament. It's more of, let's impress Hulk Hogan.
Well, to me, it felt like a tournament.
Yes.
It's like we're...
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of, but it's still, it's for the number one contendership, and it had some importance to it, which was pretty amazing.
Yes, it's a good thing, and it showed that these four matches that they put on the show actually mattered.
And they were good matches, but we'll get into that. Hogan says that he has booked RVD versus James Storm, Christopher Daniels versus Magnus, which was up first. And Hogan goes on to say that he's putting his money on Magnus. Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, pause for the Joe chant. And then lastly, our new favorite tag team behind the former World Tag Team Champions of the World, Bad Influence, Bobby Roode, and Austin Aries will be facing off against each other.
Oh, and that match was epic.
That match was easily match of the night. Easily, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Hogan said he's going to be listening to the crowd, watching all the matches, and then he's coming back out to pick the number one contender to face Jeff Hardy at Lockdown. Hogan then turns to the Aces and Eights. He said that they've basically called out the whole TNA roster and they want a war at Lockdown, so he thought about it for about half a second and made a phone call to Sting and made him the captain of Team TNA.
Whew.
Sting then comes out, soaking up, of course, the big arena feel as Taz, you know, notes that not a single Aces and Eight member will receive an opportunity to impress Hogan for a title shot. Taz called it BS, and TNA and Kenley missed the easy softball to point out Aces and Eights' win and loss record and inability to win matches.
Yeah, winning matches may get you somewhere, and Aces and Eights haven't exactly had the best of winning percentage so far.
Which they should. But anyway, basically, moving on, in the ring, Sting pandered to the UK fans and followed Hogan's lead. Then he turned his attention to those scumbags in Aces and Eights. He wasn't talking about Wes, I hope.
I think he was.
That bastard. He has accepted their challenge for a Lockdown. He will see it. He said he will find three quote-unquote killers to be on his team at Lockdown. Sting promised to tear some heads off and end the group. What you gonna do when the Stinger run wild's on you, brother? And that's how the segment closes. We cut to graphics, basically advertising RVD Storm, Angle Joe, Rude Aries, and Magnus Daniels, which is up next.
This was a very effective promo by Hogan to start off the show. It set the, you know, it's getting us to the road to the Lockdown.
It really helped to sell it, and like I said, I liked how they made the number one contendership feel important. It's, we're focusing on that, we're going to name our number one contender for the pay-per-view, so we're building to that pay-per-view. It's, oh hey, yeah, by the way, we've got this coming up, you may want to watch it, because it could be one of these four guys, or one of these eight guys, excuse me, that could be facing Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
And it added importance to it, and it made it feel good, and also we saw more of Aces and Eights as far as them beginning to build that storyline potentially to its climax.
You would hope, but with TNA, you're not always sure.
Yeah, I have a little rant on the Aces and Eights storyline, but that's for another time.
We'll get there. But up first, as you mentioned, it is Daniels, it is Magnus in the Impress Hulk Hogan matchup, number one of the evening. This was pretty good.
This was a good match. I love Daniels and Kaz to death. I love Daniels' booty jam. You can tell those two come out there and they have fun every night, and it shows.
It does. It really does. And I was impressed. Especially the best part of the match was when Kazarian tried to interfere. He got tossed out, which gave the opportunity for Magnus to pick up the victory afterwards.
Yes, and so you have the hometown or the home country boy, whatever you want to call him, pick up the win against Daniels. Which makes me a little sad. I would like to see Daniels get another title shot. Hell, I would like to see Daniels get the title.
Right. But again, you didn't have to win to be impressive.
This is true. This is very true. Yeah. So, TNA, if you're listening, please give Christopher Daniels the World Heavyweight title.
Yes. And there's another person we should vote for, but we'll get there.
We will get there, because he made buttons and everything.
I know.
So awesome.
After the match, we go backstage to the office featuring Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan talking, and she's trying to, you know, she's concerned over Bully Ray's being injured. He has a slightly torn groin, apparently. She was busy stroking his head on live TV.
No, not that head. The one attached to his shoulders. Get your mind out of the gutter, people.
Ray says two goals were marrying Brooke and winning the TNA World Heavyweight title. Brooke said she feels so bad for him that Ray got in a better move. Since it's Valentine's Day, he perked up a little bit and, you know, wanted to get Brooke some new shoes or take her out to eat and go dancing. And then Brooke reminded him he should be careful because, you know, she should continue to wear his wedding ring. Why wasn't he wearing his wedding ring?
I don't know, but I did like her dress.
It was alright.
I like shiny gold sparkly, and it was an appropriate length for her. It looked nice. It didn't look cheap. She looked nice tonight, which made me very happy. I'm sorry, I don't like it when the girls look cheap. I really don't.
I know.
But yes, could there be trouble a brewing already?
We shall see.
But moving on, Magnus is fired up backstage, basically gives a victory speech about how Aces and Eights took away his livelihood for about 3 months. He says that he has more energy in his tank than ever, and that he is going to be the one that becomes the world champ. Nice little promo by Magnus.
Yes, it shows, you know, that they're following up from him being into act, and he still has focus there, and also wants to be world heavyweight champion, so that's good. Up next, Kurt Angle took on Samoa Joe in a really, really good match, because, well, it's Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe. What else do you expect?
It was fantastic.
She already has the voice. It was fantastic because Garrett Bischoff and
Wes
decided to interfere.
And his pants.
And his pants, apparently, decided to interfere in the match, causing a no contest as they left them both laying.
Yes, and Wes with the messed up hair as they were walking off. Oh, bad things. Bad, horrible, illegal, awful things.
My God, you're ovaries, woman.
What?
I feel bad for how much work you put them through.
It's not like I'm reading the Twitter conversation I had with a friend of mine.
Don't want to know.
Yeah, that was interesting. I saw that on Twitter. Yeah, follow her, at Lynn's Ward.
By the way, hashtag beefcake calendar. TNA, WWE, I want the men of wrestling. Make it happen.
So they had a really good match until the disqualification from Garrett and Wes.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about Wes before we move on?
God, he's hot. Anyway, move on.
We had Dixie Carter backstage talking with the runners-up from British Boot Camp and told them that they'll actually be wrestling tonight, and she wants them to take this opportunity to prove that they actually belong in TNA. So our next contest featured Terror, Jesse, and Gail Kim taking on Party Marty and the Blossom Twins.
I still say Cassie's better than Rockstar Spud.
Yeah, Rockstar Spud is basically a British version of Cassidy Riley.
Go to CassidyRiley.net to find out why.
Very nice of that. This match went a lot longer and was, you know, better than I thought it was going to be.
I was actually really impressed by the twins. Just because I'll say it here, and because I said it in our chat, I was like, oh, look, they can actually wrestle. Who knew?
Twins can wrestle.
The twins can wrestle. I was like, wow, that's actually really good. They had a nice match between Tara and Gail, and then, what's his bucket? Party Marty, sorry, was okay with Jesse.
You have two green guys going up against each other, so yeah.
Yeah, it was, the girls were way better. I could have actually done without the guys in this match and just had it been a girls tag team match. And it would have been probably just as good, if not better, in my opinion. Just because Gail and Tara can make anybody look good. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at the twins, but the twins definitely held their own. And I was actually very impressed with them.
I was impressed too. It was a good match.
Very good match.
Following the matchup, we had Gail Kim talk about how she wants to become the Knockouts champion again. She, you know, thanked Taryn for calling the match correctly and not like an idiot. She told Taryn she wants the Knockouts title, and then she called out Brooke Hogan to give her what she deserves, which brought out Brooke Hogan in the dress. She talked, which is a weird camera angle, by the way, when they did this promo.
Yeah, it was a little odd because the way that they have it set up is Brooke was on the ramp and then they were shooting Gail from the ramp side.
And they didn't have another camera to shoot her. It seemed weird. They shot her sort of like from the side. It just, I don't know, came off weird. Anyway, she came out and said she's going to give Gail Kim her title shot, and it's going to also include Miss Tessmacher. And that's a three-way, and then now it's going to be Velvet Sky, so we're going to have a four-way elimination match next week on Impact.
To which Tara looked very worried, and Gail looked very worried. Don't worry, Tara. You got this. We have faith.
We have faith.
We support you 100%.
Totally do. We're Team Tara. Buy her new shirt at shoptna.com.
Yes. Team Tara all the way.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we have a couple recaps. And then up next, we have our most favoritest duo, aside from Bad Influence, in the back. The new tag champs, Aries and Rude, said Hulk Hogan is trying to divide them starting tonight. They calmly tried to decide which one should go after the TNA World title before asking if they're on the same page about what's right for business. They agreed they were on the same page and then walked off. I think the best part of the argument was who was going to get the Knockouts title.
The look on Bobby Roode's face when he was told he would get the Knockouts title.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, he wasn't impressed.
They forgot about the Knockouts tag titles too.
They keep forgetting about them. We'll see what happens. We'll make sure ODB shows back up. You know.
Yes. Come back, ODB. We miss you.
We miss you, ODB. We miss you, EY. Come back.
Please come back. But after this, we have Rob Van Dam's music playing, to which Omega should now obligatorily squee.
I'm not a squeer.
You bastard. Anyway, RVD is in the ring, and then, of course, my other man crush, James Storm, in the jacket.
Other man crush.
Yes.
You haven't been with her when she talks about Dean on Mondays, so.
Oh my god, Dean. Dean!
Oh my.
Omega.
Gone! I have to find replacements!
I tell you to keep it in your pants, but there's nothing to come out. No, never mind.
They had a good match. Saw James Storm win with the last call super kick. Good match between the two.
This is an interesting match. They're an interesting mix. I don't know if I particularly like them together, but it was, like you said, it was a good match.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So, after that...
I'm going to stop you.
You're going to stop me? Are we just going to have the audio of it?
We're going right to the audio of it. Yes.
Yeah,
courtesy of our friends on YouTube at Impact Wrestling. Our favorite lawyer is doing a little politicking.
Always gave me some good advice. I sure hope this works. Whew, here we go.
You know, Brooke, just stop for a minute.
Hey,
yes,
Hulk.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brooke.
Hey.
Hulk, I don't mean to bother you, but I know you're looking for an opponent for Jeff Hardy at Lockdown for that world title. And some of the boys told me that if I want to get anywhere in this company, I need to learn how to politic. So, Hulk.
No, brother, no. You're okay with me. You don't have to politic.
But, Hulk, I went out and I hired a campaign manager and everything. I got buttons made, posters made. Vote for Park, World Heavyweight Champion, 2013. Hulk, I
didn't... Stop. Did the boys tell you that's what politicking is? Being like a politician and getting posters and stickers and a campaign manager?
Well, that's just what I assumed it was. I've represented a few politicians.
No. Do you know what a rib is? A rib?
A rib, Hulk?
A rib. Not a barbecued rib. Not a baby back rib. You need to calm down. And go ask the boys what a rib is.
Okay, Hulk. I'll do that right away.
Yeah, you're good with me.
Thank you. Hey, Hulk.
And
can I count on your vote?
Yeah, Joseph, I'll vote for you.
Thanks, Hulk.
Okay,
thank you so much. See ya.
All right.
Yeah.
I wanted Park for champion button. I want that so bad. More things TNA needs to market. They can't do anything wrong with Joseph Park at this stage. They really can't.
No, they can't. And that was awesome. Joseph Park for the win.
He plays that character so damn perfect.
Yeah, he does.
He really does. Sorry, I smile whenever we talk about Joseph Park just because it makes me laugh. But afterwards, well, we are back at Hogan's office and back to Brooke, who's trying to pitch to Daddy that, well, Bully Ray should get the title shot because, well, he's working hurt. Hulk says he has 8 other guys to consider. Brooke sighs and says he's gotten to know Ray, he's gotten to know Ray over the last 3 days, and she's found out that he got into the business because of Hulk, and he wants to be just like Hulk. Daddy returned the sigh and said he would love to have a son-in-law as the World Heavyweight Champion, but he has to remain objective. Hulk said he will take Ray's candidacy under advisement. Is it me, or are they becoming more and more like the McMahon-Helmsley era every day?
Yes, they are.
Which is amazing.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it, too. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever.
But lastly, well, not necessarily lastly, but your last match of the evening, the main event is the one half of the TNA Tag Team Champions, Austin Aries, taking on the other half of the Tag Team Champions, Bobby Roode, in the final Impress Hulk Hogan match. This was absolutely match of the night.
Yes, it was. But before we get to the match itself, they decided to talk a little bit right before the match.
Cut the music!
His son is a bum.
Hulk Hogan, it's only taken you 1 week to try to screw with A-Double and the It Factor's plan. Last week was just the beginning, becoming the new World Tag Team Champions. Because you see, we intend on winning all the gold here at Impact Wrestling and finally bringing some prestige and some honor back to each and every one of them. The plan tonight is so transparent. I say, if you're scared, say you're scared. Because you know when me and Bobby Roode are on the same page. Yeah. Thanks, people. I know my name. Thank you. I know my name.
Great line.
The bottom line is, this little plan's not going to work. Me and Bobby Roode were on the same page. We know what has to be done. We know what's right for business, don't we, Bobby? That's right. So we're going to take care of this real easy, real simple. Referees, ring the bell.
Is there more than one ref here? You said referees.
You did go plural with that. I only see one. Brian Hebner, the referee, for this event match.
When you're the greatest man who ever lived, you can do what you want. And I don't know what they got planned here, but...
Well, they said they're on the same page.
They're going to have a match.
Okay. Are they going for the double finger poke a do?
I see what's going on here. Just a little miscommunication. I poke you, you'll go down. I'm not going down if you poke me. All right, you know what? All right, enough of this. Bobby, I'm going to be the bigger man here.
I'm the bigger man. Look at me.
That's a figure of speech. You are physically bigger, but in this instance, I'm going to be the bigger man. I'm going to lay down for you, Bobby. I'm going to lay down for you. Not a problem.
That's very unselfish of Austin.
And we can cut it off right there. As he goes... I poke you, you poke. I poke you, you go down. No, I poke you, you go down.
Absolutely fantastic.
So in their plan to win all the belts, who has to carry the Knockouts belt?
They haven't decided yet, but Austin told Bobby he could win the Knockouts belt.
Did that really happen?
That really happened.
Yeah, we weren't making this up.
That really happened.
So, yeah, they went for the finger poke of doom. No one went down. then Austin Aries laid down. Bobby tried to cover him, got a two, and then Austin Aries reversed it, and then we got our match.
We did, and it was an absolutely fantastic match between the two. Not that they could have a bad match.
Well, they could if they were sleepwalking through it, but they, you know, it's Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. But yes, it was a great main event. I kind of wish it was the way that they had closed the show, but we still have one more segment to go.
We do.
Which, by the way, we got a spot for WWE's Dead Man Down during this show, too.
I didn't notice that. Okay.
They didn't show Wade, but they did show the trailer for the movie.
Ah.
Which, it actually looks kind of interesting, but whatever. After the match, we have Hulk Hogan in the back talking to Sting, and, well, they're talking about Starrcade, of all things. Quick, where's Alan?
Well, you know.
He said that was nothing compared to what Brooke just put him through. Sting said, played such a good friend, saying he's glad it's Hulk's decision, and it's all on his shoulders to decide the number one contender. Sting and Hulk left the office, then Sting told Hulk to go the other way, to which I guess he was a little turned around. Hulk grumbles, thanks, brother, and Sting kept calling after him, telling him that he's glad it's on him. Hogan then put on his Hulk Hogan face and sunglasses, then just kept walking.
Gotta go this way, Hulk. Gotta go this way.
Well, arenas can be confusing.
Yes, it can.
To which 3 minutes later, Hulk is back out in the ring to basically tell us his decision for lockdown. He paces around in the ring for a little bit, noting that this has been crazy in the back because of the energy coming from the crowd. Hogan said it's not about him anymore, but the guys are pouring their hearts out tonight. He said it's decision time and each wrestler wants to be the quote-unquote man. Suddenly, we get Wes and the rest of the Aces and Eights as they come through the side entrance and hop over the guardrail to surround the ring. They slowly climb onto the ring apron before Bully Ray limps down, because limping ain't easy, to the ring with a chain in hand. Aces and Eights then back off as Hogan and Ray stand in the ring, chain in hand, to which I say there's like 10 of them and 2 of, you know, Bully and Hogan, and one's got a chain. And he's limping, and y'all limping. Back off.
And they backed off. I wonder. Then came Sting with bat and cricket bat in hand.
Well, you know, they're trying to, you know, keep the international flavor going.
Yes, and he chased them off, and we had no decision. So what's it going to be, brother?
Ray returned the gesture pointing towards, let's see.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really get a decision, but basically Ray and Devon and Hogan and Sting all exchanged threats, with Ray and Devon pointing at each other to close the show.
Yeah, so it's, who's it going to be? Who will be the number one contender? Will it be Joseph Park? Will it be Bully Ray? Will it be one of the 8 men who competed tonight? That's the question, and I guess the answer will be told next week.
So now can I rant on the Aces and Eights a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's your show.
Just had to ask. But yeah, I love the storyline. I loved when it started, and I love where they're kind of going with it. But god damn it, make them more dominant. They're supposed to be badasses. And it's really hard to take them as badasses when they back down from a guy with a limp and a chain. That's like essentially backing down from a girl. No offense to Bully Ray, but it's just, yeah, it's just, it doesn't, you know, there's like 10 of them out there, and there's 2 guys out there. It's like, you should be able to beat them down single-handedly without a problem. You shouldn't be backing down.
No, you shouldn't, but that's what they did, so.
Just like they should be dominating and winning, and they're not. And also, I really hate Tasman commentary. I'm trying not to be negative about this, but because I tried to give it a chance, but honestly, I would rather have Taz as the mouth of the group than have him on commentary. Because him trying to be a heel and be the mouth of the group at the same time and do commentary all wrapped up into one just really gives me a headache.
Yeah, he's trying too hard.
You know, it's... I would just rather have him represent Aces and Eights as their mouthpiece and be done with it, and you just have Kinley and Tanay, and that's it.
Yeah, I understand.
But that's my little rant. Otherwise, it was a fantastic show.
Lots of good wrestling tonight. Lots of it.
Yeah, it was well-paced, because I was sitting here, and I was like, okay, you know, well, I'm going to make dinner at this time, and I was like, oh, wait, that's right, Impact's only 2 hours, and oh my god, it's almost over. So, you know, I had to plan accordingly, but, yeah, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, as always. It's, right now, short of Aces and Eights, they really can't do any wrong.
This is very true.
And since Mason Omega didn't watch, I guess I can't ask them what they thought.
No, we can't. But he can try.
No. I can't contribute anything till at least Saturday night. My time.
Your
so,
time.
Like, sometime Saturday day.
Well, do you have any opinions on what you were actually watching at the time?
Not really, because I was only half paying attention to it, because I figured I'd just watch the entire thing when it popped up tomorrow night, so. I saw the whole, Aries Rude, you know, yeah, you're supposed to go down, you're supposed to go down, you're supposed to go down, and then I got distracted by other videos. But when I saw that, I'm like, ha, the parody of the finger poker doom. Ha, funny.
Yes.
And then promptly watch people, like, bag of crap out of Valiant's Colonial Marine.
So, well, on that note, should we take a break?
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about our Tweet of the Week, the special Tweet of the Week.
Valentine's Day edition. So you're listening to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently, I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It's just weird and weird. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here. That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Gundam style. Love you, Gundam. Love you, Gundam. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Shimu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Got 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. I make sure the club stays still. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club stays still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm wake up riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
Wild Talk Radio came to 4, 10, 20, 13.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air?
Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com. We, of course, are brought to you by PWMania.com and Memorabilia Lane or MemLanePromo.com. Go check them out and buy their stuff because they're, well, they're awesome. But you know what else is awesome?
What, Lindsay, what?
Mason Omega get to come back into the conversation.
Woohoo!
Wait, what?
Wake up!
I'm here.
We're done talking about WoW, so you can chime in again. Now, for those who got that
how much dust was on that reference?
For those who got that reference, you get a point.
Well, let's see if we can earn more points in Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Well, since we're reading off of a hashtag and a Mace isn't, I will let Mace go first.
Yeah, I've only got a couple here that have occurred over the last couple of weeks. Dating back to the Super Bowl, actually, so about 2 weeks worth. First one from our good friend Ricardo Rodriguez. This was in reply to who turned out the lights at the Super Bowl. And he says, for those of you who responded with S.H.I.E.L.D., you all fail as wrestling fans, get the fuck out. Bravo, sir, bravo. Because frankly, if the lights go out and you suddenly start thinking, S.H.I.E.L.D., get the fuck out of my hobby, be gone. We all know it was The Undertaker.
Who was very drunk.
Yes. Went the wrong way and ended up at the Super Bowl.
And then a hockey game.
We're not talking about that. At least not yet.
again, in reference to the lights going out at the Super Bowl, and I know that Omega's going to be probably the only other one. Well, maybe Lindsay will get this one too. From one of our favorites, Doug Walker, otherwise known as that guy with the glasses, the tweet went out of, Aziz Light! For those of you who don't get it, go watch Fifth Element. And then finally, my final one is from Paul Heyman. which came just after the Pope announced his retirement at the end of the month. From Paul Heyman, I want to be Pope. Come on, it's 2013. Time for a Jewish Pope, don't you think?
Hashtag Heyman for Pope.
Mace, yeah, are you aware that Doug Walker isn't actually on Twitter?
Yes, I know. Shut the fuck up. I took it off his Facebook page, asshole.
Hey, that doesn't count, so you're disqualified. It's Tweet of the Week.
No points for you.
Yeah, minus 5 points for Mace.
Now, I don't care. People owe me money. People who owe me money, pay up now. I need to buy a t-shirt.
I get paid in, like, 2 hours. Chill. Jesus.
The t-shirt's only available for 7 hours.
Well, you can wait 2. You can buy it, like, on the last minute like the rest of us.
Oh, which one's he looking at?
The Crying New World Order one.
So, Omega, what? You have any tweets of the week?
It says 23 hours in mine, Mace.
I think he's counting the fact that he's going to sleep in some of those.
Oh, that thing.
No one sleeps. Anyway, tweets, Omega, or no?
No, I don't follow any funny people. I only follow my friends.
Oh, thank you so much, you ass.
No, I don't subscribe to anyone that of any fame level, so yeah, I don't really have any tweets to share.
Well, so, they don't have to be famous people, it's just funny tweets or tweets that you like, whatever.
So I get this. So I'm famous, that's why you won't follow me? I got it. I got you now. I got it. I'm too big for Omega to follow.
Fuck off.
Hey, Spunk, you got any tweets?
No, I haven't. I haven't been on Twitter at all this week.
Yeah, he's been a bit busy.
Yes. Those of you that haven't heard, Spunk is a brand new daddy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Rock, shall we unveil the hashtag?
Go for it.
So, our special Valentine's Day themed edition is... Hashtag Candy Heart Rejects.
These are funny, and some are really sick.
Some are really sick, some are really disgusting.
Some would nowhere near fit on a little candy heart.
No, but they're funny.
Yeah, so you have any you want to throw out there first?
Let's see, I'm reading, so if you have any, please go ahead.
What's that smell? You make herpes fun again. Join my human centipede.
Aww.
I'm a very fit, fun, classy guy. I will eat your soul. You've been lied to from the start. They're not your parents. This is actually some ecstasy. Get tested. I think I made me gay. Well, I'm really in like with you. Can I talk to you about the Mormon Church? Penny Lindsay?
You be the pandy, you be the panda, I'll be here, Lori. Roses are red, sidewalks are flat, so is your chest, the end.
And that's the one you want to send to AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not herpes, it's our peas. They're really, really sick, some of these.
Putting a pretty shirt over your muffin top doesn't make you a cupcake.
It only looks infected. Go read that one, Mace.
I can't. It's from Facebook.
You and your Facebooks. Not helpful.
I'm your Nana, and your sister is your real mom.
Get in the van, something Omega would say.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
To Lindsay.
I don't own a van.
No, he sent me one that said, on your knees. Oh, wait, I can't share those.
No, the one that Omega would send to Lindsay is back in the box.
I saw one to get back in the basement. It didn't come from TJ Omega, but I saw it.
Somebody's stealing our gimmick! Hashtag gimmick infringement. Here we go, here's a sick one. This is a suppository.
I saw one that said this is a roofie, too.
Would you like to take a personality test?
I blocked my wife.
I'm your Nana, and your sister is your real mom.
Oh, Dolph Ziggler participated in this. Yes. Don't tell Mom. Not funny, but...
There was one from a Betty White parody account that said, hold my teeth.
Oh.
I saw that.
Here's some stuff. Can we have sex now?
Doesn't that one just, like, encapsulate the whole of Valentine's Day? Here's some stuff. Let's fuck.
Speaking of which, everyone who's fucking today, your kid's going to be born way too close near Christmas. Shame on you.
What does that mean they're going to conceive?
Crazy.
Hey, it's better than all the people who tend to screw on New Year's and then they all get born in September. Not all of us were New Year's mistaken, are.
So basically you're saying you've been catfished?
Huh? Oh, Spug. Bad Spug. Because I know you made that up.
You're an ass.
Your oak tree gave me splinters.
This just goes to show as a
trim planet. Your thorn bushes.
Sick people.
Oh, here you go. Somebody said, I'll be your Chris Brown.
Oh.
And with that...
Someone says, smell the glove.
Does this smell like chloroform to you?
And when they just go, would you? Crabs. Make boners. And finally, this is a Plan B pill.
So on that note, let's move on to our discussion, shall we? Or actually, no, I take it back. Let's move on to Elimination Chamber, shall we?
Yeah, let's move into the Elimination Chamber, which is live this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be live following at 11 p.m. Eastern for WrestleTalk Radio.
The 9-minute, super extensive, awesome preview of Elimination Chamber.
It'll actually be longer than 9 minutes, but... Meh. So, for those of you who may be listening for the first time...
You steal my gimmick too, woman!
I get to steal your gimmick.
Fine, but you pay me back later.
Damn right. I'll pay you royalties. Anyway, for those of you who may be new to our network or may just want to participate for the first time, we also do, for the pay-per-views, something called a little Pick'em Challenge. Brought to you, of course, by Memorabilia Lane. Go to memorabiliapromos.com to pick up some of their awesome merchandise, in which they provide us with an autographed photo. Who are we giving away this one?
Not yet. We are in discussions of who to give away, but we will be giving away a prize this Sunday on WrestleTalk Radio.
Yes, so the prize is an autographed photo of someone. The last pay-per-view, we gave an autographed photo away of Kane. So, and I believe Tommy won that, so congratulations to him.
Yes.
For this pay-per-view.
It took hours to get it out of Lindsay's hands.
Thankfully, it never got to Lindsay's hands. If it got to Lindsay's hands, then we would have had some trouble.
No, I would have easily handed it over. I have plenty of can autographs, thank you.
I could make a comment, but I'll be quiet.
Yeah, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I really can't say anything
quiet.
About autograph hunting.
Yeah. You stalk people just like me, so just be quiet. Anyway, as I try to explain the rules to this, it's really simple, really easy. We're going to name off the matches on the pay-per-view, and you just pick the winner. This is for the listeners, this is for live listeners, archive listeners, anybody that listens to the show. If you want to participate in this, if you're listening live right now, you can put your picks in our live chat room over at wildtalkradio.com, and our awesome buddy Kane Kittens will write them down. If you're interested in picking from the archive, you can tweet them to us at wildtalkradio. You can send them to you can send them to us on the Facebooks. facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. You can also email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. You have up until Sunday at some point, watch the Twitters and the Facebooks for when we give you the cutoff to get your picks in, and yes, you can change your picks as often as you like, but we discourage that greatly because, well, people get frustrated, and that's all we're going
to
say.
And then some people complain that other people get to change their picks prior to a show.
Yes, you do not get to change your picks after the cutoff. Or the day of the cutoff. Because people complained.
Yeah.
Stein.
Goes and ruins everything.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Bullshit. You don't get to change your pick. I think you shouldn't get to change it like day of. Like, the moment that day hits, no more changing.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Follow along, dude.
A little busy.
So which methods of contact are we missing here? You know, Morse code, smoke signals.
You can send us a MySpace message at myspace.com/wildtalkradio. I don't know if anyone uses that anymore, yeah. But it's
find us on Friendster.
Find us on the Friendster. Tim's probably on JDate, so message him there.
You can contact. You can contact us on our GeoCities page.
Oh, I love GeoCities.
Angel Fire! Angel Fire!
And feel free to message us on MSN.
AOL.
You can go to our AOL friend group.
We have an AOL chat room still open, so if you want to join it, please go
ahead. You can
right
also ahead. Message on CompuServe.
And of course, we also accept telepathic communications, but if you accidentally telepath the Spug, well, we make no apologies.
And send your letters that you should have post-dated last week, too.
Care of Tim Stein in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
And no, we won't cover the extra postage to ship to Canada.
Yes, so.
So, alrighty, we have...
We have, I think, 7 matches on the show, which includes the pre-show?
No, we have more like... Yes, 7. I can't count.
So the pre-show match starts with Tensai and Brodus Clay, who are looking for a team name. Well,
Monsters of Funk!
Well, to really start off this segment, I need to play this.
Yes.
They're back together again.
I want the shirt!
Where the hell's Billy and Chuck?
Not Billy and Chuck! The Rhodes Scholars are reuniting for one night, at least as far as we know, one night and one night only, to take on Team Funk.
Yeah, so it's Rhodes Clay Tensa against Team Rhodes Scholars, so throw around the horn, Omega.
I know for a fact, you know, Brutus Clay was tweeting out that he wants to know what the name's gonna be and is asking fans. I don't think my suggestion of Team I Bleach is gonna make it.
Yeah, no.
I really wanted them to be the Hip Hop Hippos just for how self-referential it is.
That'd be good.
But WWE is nowhere near that meta.
So, who you got, Omega?
As much as I wanted to be Road Scholars, I think they're going to push the new team here.
So
whatever the funk they're going to call it.
So whatever the funk they're going to call it. So we have one for Brutus Clay and Tensai. Bug.
No matter who wins, we all lose. Oh, wait, this isn't a John Cena match.
It's not a Diva match either.
Fair enough. You know, I really don't care. Because, quite honestly, if they got rid of the two harpies at ringside and sent them back to the strip club where they belong...
No, but if you actually go by the storylines, one of the harpies is instrumental in the bringing the team together.
No.
Because if the videos are meant to be believed, then Tensai wants Cameron.
Listen, either way, send them back to the titty bar with the Godfather, and I don't mind that tag team of Brodus and Tensai. So, and I wish they'd keep Rhodes and Sandow as a tag team too. So I really don't care. I don't care who wins, but I will pick eeny meeny miny. We'll go with the Monsters.
I'm really hoping losing to these guys will convince Road Scholars to stick around for longer.
We can only hope. Mace, who you got?
Team Eye Bleach.
Okay. Lindsay?
The Funky Hippos.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well. So, there you go. Even though we all probably want Road Scholars to actually win.
Yeah, I really want Road Scholars to actually win. I want the Reunion Tour t-shirt, but unfortunately they're going to split them right back up. Why they split them in the first place, I don't know. Fix it. Please fix it.
Because tag teams. That's why.
Well... Hell Knows got the belts right now, and they're going to have to eventually lose them to somebody. Unless it's going
to
be like Primo.
They'll lose them to the Hippos.
Or the Usos.
Or the Shield.
Or the Shield.
Shit, never thought about that.
Yeah, there's...
Do they get to do the three-man gimmick like, what was it?
The Freebird?
Who did it? Yeah, like the Freebirds and, what was it, DDP?
Bigelow and Kenyon.
Bigelow and Kenyon did...
The
did Demolition get to do it, too?
I think so.
No. Yeah, they did do it, but the Freebird started. It's called the Freebird Rule for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot what the rule was called. That's why I didn't mention what the rule was. But, yeah, like, if the Shield do get belts, it would be an interesting way to bring that rule back.
I would do it at WrestleMania, put a Shield versus Hell No.
As long as we get the defense at Extreme Rules the next month, where we have May 19th references.
Yes, there must be many May 19th references. It would be awesome, especially from Brian.
Yes.
That's when they book in for their next night of therapy.
Mm-hmm. Up next, the United States Championship is on the line when Antonio Cesaro takes on The Miz. Spug.
Please, no. Please, no.
Yeah, but you gotta make a pick.
Cesaro, I hope. I hope.
You hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Please don't put the belt on Miz. Please. I beg of you, don't let him drop any. Don't let him drop anyone on their head again.
Yeah. Let's not have that happen. Okay? Come on, Miz. Really, don't drop anyone on their head. Omega. Will Miz be the first American to beat Cesaro for the title?
God. And I like the Miz, you know?
So pick him.
Unfortunately, I'm going to pick Cesaro. Okay. If only because I don't want them to change the belt this close to Mania. I'd rather them build it up to someone who act, you know, the way they're building Cesaro, I'd rather see someone built up to actually take the belt off of him.
Like Mr. America?
You see, if they brought him back as a face, I would buy that. But instead, they brought him back as a Fox News correspondent, so fuck it.
No, I was talking about actually Mr. America with the mask. Brother.
Sister, cousin, brother, sister, brother, where? Aunt, brother, yeah. Uncle, brother.
Where? Former roommate.
Wearing the mask and, you know, covering up the bald spot. Mace.
Who won their match at the pre-show at the Rumble?
Well, apparently Cesaro, because he still has the title.
Yeah, it was a title match. It goes to show how much attention the pre-show gets.
Well, that one got a lot because it crashed.
Yeah, crashed YouTube. That was funny. I'm going to go with Cesaro because they're going to go for the three-peat at Mania.
Lindsay.
I'm going with Cesaro. He's going to carry the belt through to Mania.
I agree. Cesaro. We'll go through this one really quickly. Divas Championship is on the line. Caitlin takes on Tamina Snuka Mace.
The food vendors.
No.
But they're the ones that are going to win, because everybody's going to get up, go to the toilet, buy themselves a beer and a thing of popcorn. But I suppose if I have to go with anybody, we might as well go with, what's the blonde one with the tits?
Caitlin.
Yeah, her.
Spug.
I'm with Mace, the blonde one with the tits.
Omega. Mike, you can't decide.
I don't even want to pick this.
Too bad. Pick it.
Okay, one.
Lindsay.
I'm going with Caitlin.
Yeah, I'll go with Caitlin as well. Up next, World Heavyweight Championship on the line in a singles match. Alberto Del Rio against The Big Show. Lindsay.
I'm going with Del Rio. And I'm calling Ziggler to cash in.
Steal my idea, why don't you?
You let me go first.
This is true. So she has Ziggler cashing in, but Del Rio keeping the belt. Spug.
Del Rio.
Yeah, I'm going Del Rio with the Ziggler cash in, and that'll be explained when we get to the chamber. Mace.
Del Rio. No Ziggler cash in.
Omega.
Del Rio.
Is it, Is there anything on this pay-per-view that you do want to pick, Omega?
Not really. Del Rio, no cash-in. I think Ziggler's cashing at Mania.
Okay. Up next, John Cena, the Ryback, and the Sheamus take on Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose, better known as The Shield. Spug. Spug.
Yes.
Pick up, you know, who's going to win, Shield or the babyface trio?
I don't know, Shield.
Mace.
If it's not in the chamber, Shield. If it is in the chamber, Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback.
The busy beaver typer, Omega.
It's
keyboard nom 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 nom.
It's going to be the big three. I can't see the Shield beating the three top faces in the company right now.
I say the Shield goes over by pinning Sheamus. Lindsay.
We're going for specific extra points on this one, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, we are.
I'm going to put my faith in Dean and the Shield. Because, you know, hashtag believe in the Shield.
They have a new shirt on WWE Shop, apparently.
I don't like it. It's ugly.
The number one contender...
No. Hold on. Before we move on, you want to talk ugly, take a look at... Have you seen what Ryback's going to be wearing in the chamber?
Oh, yes, I saw it.
Makes him look like... Oh, who gets to do the airbrush on that shit?
But if we're staying on...
Anyway, move on.
Hold on. Before we move on, this is where I'm scrolling up in my conversation with Lindsay earlier, and this is the best t-shirt ever. I'll post it in the chat room for people to see as well.
Yes, it is. Although the Dazzler won't be too.
Best t-shirt ever. But yes, Dazzle isn't there as well.
Oh, thank you, you dumb bitch.
Alright, Elimination Chamber match for the number one contendership for the World Heavyweight Championship. Mark Henry, Kane, Daniel Bryan, Jack Swagger, Randy Orton, and Chris Jericho. Omega.
I'm going to go with Orton. Just because? He's the biggest name in the chamber, and they'll want him in a title match of Mania.
Okay, I'm going with Chris Jericho because I have Ziggler cashing in and win the world title. We get Jericho and Ziggler for the world title at WrestleMania. Lindsay.
Again.
Again.
You're going for like some weird ass triple parlay here.
Hey. Anyway, move on.
Ditto on Rock's pick.
I was just trying to get in there before Lindsay could say it all.
Yeah. Pretty much. He's trying to beat me to it. Jericho wins the chamber.
Mace?
Good question. Who we got again?
Hell
I'm
no.
Already forgetting.
Hell no. Henry, Jericho, Swagger, and Randy Orton.
Orton.
So when you're...
Unless somebody gets shanghaied in the back, then it's Ziggler stealing a spot at last second in the chamber.
Okay. Spug, who you got?
The Harlem Shake.
I don't think that's in the match.
Damn. We'll go with YTJ.
Then in your main event for the WWE Championship, The Rock takes on CM Punk. If The Rock is counted out or disqualified, Punk wins the WWE Championship. Omega.
Rock.
Mace.
Why are we even bothering making a prediction? It's The Rock.
Spug.
The greatest wrestler to ever grace the ring.
So Spug's going.
You know.
Say
you
it.
Know, the greatest wrestler ever, the god of wrestling, The Rock. We must all bow before him.
Lindsay.
You will take the bait, the bait, Mace. You will take the effing bait one day.
I told you at the beginning of the show, boys play nice.
He keeps putting the bait out there. I'm not biting, which makes it all the more better because that's what pisses him off.
I know, but still, play nice. You can
kill
each other.
Nice.
You can kill each other after we go off the air. I am going with somebody interferes and Punk somehow gets the belt back. So Punk.
Punk wins the WWE Championship back. And then loses it 2 weeks later on Monday Night Raw.
No. Punk wins the belt, then the match gets restarted.
But there's no one there.
And The Rock wins it in 2 seconds, 2 months in a row.
No, I'm going with you with CM Punk to win the belt and then lose it to The Rock on Monday Night Raw in what they'll promote as The Rock's first TV match in over a decade. So you'll get CM Punk versus The Rock for the third time on television, which The Rock will then win the WWE Championship once and for all.
If that happens, I am so not buying WrestleMania.
So hopefully you get all your picks in. You can send them to me at wildtalkradio.com, tweet us at wildtalkradio, and facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or on the group as well.
Yes, remember, you have till Sunday to get this done, and you have until Saturday to change them once you submit them, because we don't want anybody to whine and bitch and moan.
Yeah.
But speaking of whining and bitch and moaning, yes, we're all going to talk about it, because, well, damn it, it's my show. Certain someone resurfaced.
Jack Swagger and Dutch Mantel.
No, not them. Certain dead man resurfaced.
We're gonna sit back, way back, and laugh Britney's on this one.
Call me in about 20 minutes, I'm gonna go watch Harlem Shake videos while she bitches.
I'm not gonna bitch, God. He came back looking, well,
old.
Different.
He came back looking old. Is the best.
Came back looking different. Trying to be diplomatic about this, he came back looking different, and there were, of course, rumors swirling when he came back on Monday night that he was going to be on Raw, to which, much to my relief, he wasn't. But basically, rumors are now coming out that he did meet with Vince sometime Monday. They did discuss WrestleMania, and everything is up in the air. I have it on good authority from a reliable source that he was in Nashville to visit his doctors, his ortho doctors. And you don't visit that kind of doctor unless, well, you're looking to work.
That, by the way, is the hashtag rec exclusive. It's not being reported anywhere else, and don't spread it around.
Yes, don't spread it around. I'm not going to tell you who told me because they can get in a lot of trouble, but I do have it on very good authority that he did, in fact, visit his doctors in Nashville on Monday morning. So that being said, are we getting a taker for Mania?
I hope not with a gray beard. God, that's frightening. Thinking of Undertaker with a gray beard.
No, gray mohawk. If he comes back with a gray mohawk, I will get
God.
On the air If he comes back with a gray mohawk, I will be inconsolable, and that will be the point where you will just need to take your headset off for at least 20 minutes while I go off.
So, opening the WrestleMania post show here on the Wild Talk Radio Network,
like
Lindsay ripping the shit out of everything for 20 minutes.
Like, she was speechless for 20 minutes when the picture came out.
Yeah, I couldn't form words.
She was not forming words. It was just gibberish for like 20 minutes. Yeah, she was, yeah. So if he comes back with, you know, a mohawk grade, it would be scary. Here's hoping he doesn't, because think about it. You thought of The Undertaker as a child. You know, how he looks, and now he looks with gray hair. It's...
Well, given what we've seen of The Undertaker recently, like us as a group, what we've been watching recently, which will be coming soon to WTRFs, compared to what we see in the photo, just wow. That's all I can say.
Well, it's like I told Rock, it's, when I picture him in my head, I picture him circa about 2008, 2009. That's where I see him. And so and even last year he didn't look like that. Cause obviously the hair was dyed. But it's like, just to see that, and it's, I told Rock this, he looks almost unrecognizable. If you didn't know that was him, you wouldn't know that was him.
Well, I blame the fedora for that.
Oh god, the hat needs to go. The hat is awful.
Yeah.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. The man had shoulder surgery, so he couldn't work upper, and he had a hip replacement, so he couldn't work lower. So, yeah, you're going to, we're going to go downhill.
But he's lost weight. He's lost a lot of weight, apparently. Which begs the question, what he looked like a month ago.
And we all go silent at that thought.
That's because I'm picturing a taller with less hair version of Jake Roberts 6 months ago.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Lindsay, but that's when people go, oh, how do you think he would have looked before? That's the picture that comes into my head.
Oh, I'm not arguing at all. I'm just, it just makes the mental picture worse. But yeah, it was just...
Get in touch with DDP. He can help you.
The DDP yoga, it works, dude. It totally works.
Just ask Kane.
Just ask Kane.
Jeez. I seriously
see,
do want to see...
Your fucking brother's on it.
No, I really kind of do want to see what he looked like a few months ago.
God.
Behold, the Undertaker.
On the couch, asleep, probably. But yeah, back to the original question, now that we've kind of sort of ripped on the picture a little bit. God, that was just... Not going to go into it right now. Where does this essentially leave Mania? I mean, obviously he has to give a decision, or he had to give a decision ASAP, because they're finalizing Mania probably this week, I would imagine.
Yeah, I believe so. If you watch Monday Night Raw, and hopefully most people did, there were certain signs that the Taker is coming back. Paul Heyman made, you know, some references. Yes, he was talking about the Pope, but he was also making references about a black cloud sort of hanging over and something striking down upon him. That could be the Undertaker, and I think that's what Lindsay was leaning towards in her pick for the match.
Yeah, there were certain things that Paul Heyman alluded to, like Vince McMahon's wrath and worse things are coming, that would give the indication that Taker might be showing up. If he's not, he's not. You know, it's just, my issue is this, and this is going to sound really, really awful and really pretentious and really just, I hate to even say it on the air, but I said it to Rock and I'll say it now. I have no problem if he's going to skip 30 or skip 29. If he doesn't feel like he can do it, then absolutely he has the right to sit it out. But I feel like as a fan, it needs to be made up and it needs to be made clear. And I'm sure we'll get the clarity soon, but it just feels like being jerked back and forth, especially as a fan of his. It's like this feels a little unfair because we only get him once a year. So it's like, make up your goddamn mind and stop jerking us around. And I hate saying that because it sounds like such a spoiled brat, but it's like, I'm the type of person, and you all know this, and everybody that listens to this show knows this. I wait for him to show back up. Wait for it. I watch this time of year, and I pay close attention to this time of year because I know he's coming back. And there aren't too many more times where he's going to come back. We've got probably this year and next year, and that's it.
Yep.
Because if you read the other reports, if he doesn't do this year, then he'll do next year for sure, and they'll center it around his retirement, which is what we all kind of called.
Yeah, we have, and it's, and that's why this week will be the big, we will know for sure where they're going.
But I think the flip side to this as well is, what does it do to Punk? Because that's got to be irritating as hell for him to think that, you know, oh, well, yeah, we're going to give you a match with Taker at Mania, which is huge, and then all of a sudden Taker's like, yeah, I may not do it.
I think there's been a deadline given to him of, we need word by Sunday.
Yes, that's why. Yeah.
Because if you take a, and yeah, we're going to play a bit of devil's advocate here, but the sudden addition of this stipulation of if The Rock gets counted out, DQ'd, whatever, Punk wins the belt, that sounds like they're trying to build in a plan B for Punk.
Yeah.
That we might get what would be Rock versus Cena 2 becomes Rock versus Cena versus Punk.
And I can agree with that, and I can totally see that. And that's why I think what they're doing with Brad Maddox right now is a potential setup for that plan B. And that's why I was saying either Taker could come in and accidentally disqualify Punk, or Brad Maddox could come in and get Rock disqualified. Because they put the stip on there for a reason.
Yeah.
If they weren't gonna do something with it, they would not have added it. And it's very specific to where if Rock gets a DQ, then Punk gets the belt back.
Right, because they can go with the plan of somebody attacks Punk, which means Rock's DQ'd.
So you could have it be The Shield, you could have it be Brad Maddox, you could have it be The Undertaker, you could have it be Brock Lesnar. You could have it be Paul Heyman. I mean, it's anybody could attack Punk in that match, and Rock's done. And they can't say boo about it.
Which is
could also be Taker.
Which would
make it a very interesting way. Could be Lesnar. See, that's what I thought about, when they said, oh, the dark times are coming, this is the... something's going to strike down upon me. I thought it was Lesnar. That he was talking about Lesnar being uncontrollable this time. Because if you take a look at the last couple of times Lesnar's been on TV, Paul's been trying to pull him back, and Lesnar's just shoved him aside, not listening.
Right. But here's the scenario for The Undertaker. If you've noticed what they've been doing the last few weeks is the lights out gimmick, and who's best known for that? Well, The Undertaker. So instead of the lights just going out, this time there's a gong instead with the lights.
Yeah, they're kind of training people. It's like what happened on Ricardo Rodriguez's tweet. The lights go out. What were some people saying? The Shield. So they could potentially do that repeat of that finish at Rumble where it's the lights go out and everybody's going, oh my God, it's the Shield, it's the Shield, it's the Shield, and then you hear the gong.
I don't know why, but this would be the stupidest storyline in ever. But lights go out, you hear the start of the Shield's music, then as soon as that intro bit where they're talking the military style alphabet cuts off, and you hear a gong, and here comes Taker out in the black gear, and he's part of the Shield. It'd be stupid, but fucking it'd be funny.
No, what would be better? What would be better is if the lights go out and you look up on the stage, there's Jericho's light jacket going off, and just as the lights come back on, you see Taker tripping over him as he's trying to get out, the Shield's coming down, ranking. Fuck, everyone thought the lights out was for them.
Or you get Jericho comes out, he does his little spread the arm out Raven pose with the jacket. All of a sudden you see the jacket suddenly fly up in the air and then come crashing down, and Taker choke slams him.
Or could it be one of Taker's lightning bolts and all of a sudden the coat gets really bright for a second?
Well, that was the other thing
Sorry, I'm going to derail this just for one more minute. And I just want to see if Omega can follow me on this one. Have you ever watched Jericho do his entrance and then expect him to sort of like, while he's got his hands out and the lights are out, have him start going, and pretend to be an airplane?
If he's ever going to do that, I think it'd be when he first came back with that, when he was just running around smiling, just yelling a lot and not actually doing anything.
Anyway, sorry about that, Lindsay.
It's all good. But I think that's one of the things Rock and I were talking about one night after the show was, you know, them using the lightning bolt where Punk is sitting there cutting a promo or he's talking about something, and they have the lightning bolt come down.
The lightning strike down upon thee.
Yeah, and lightning strike down upon thee, and basically...
What, are you going to blow Punk up while he's making a rant sitting Indian style on the top of the stage? You sick people!
Well, he was cutting a promo on The Undertaker, and he's basically doing the quote-unquote pipe bomb, where he's, you know, telling The Undertaker, you're old, you're washed up, you've had it, you need to retire. You know, basically pointing out all his flaws. You know, you're not who you used to be, you're weak, because one of the other things we've noticed is at 27, they purposely made an effort to where The Undertaker wasn't really The Undertaker. They made him more human. That was further emphasized at 28. So it could be that they're making The Undertaker a more human figure. To which, if that's the case, then Punk could, you know, say, oh, well, you know, you've had shoulder surgery, you've had hip surgery, you've got, if they wanted to, even though it would absolutely kill me, you've got a new baby.
Even without going to that degree, he can still pull on the fact of, who are you supposed to be? First you're a dead man, then you're a biker, then you're a wannabe MMA fighter, now you're back to being a dead man again. Do you even know who you are? Why are you telling me who I can be?
Right.
When you don't even know who you are.
Right. And then that's when Taker, you know, basically shuts him up by sending down the lightning bolt, or, you know, sends down the lightning bolt, and Punk's like, ooh, you know, basically further mocks him. Because here's the thing, if Taker feuds with Punk, he's going to have to talk. There's just no way around it. And we were talking about it, that if he comes back at Chamber or after Chamber, he's going to pretty much have to be there the entire time after Chamber, mm-hmm. every week. Because if he's going to be feuding with Punk, it's going to be a short build, and so they're going to basically have to do it all through promos, because Taker can't really do anything physical, as far as we're hearing, until the show, and they're not going to risk him getting hurt by doing anything physical.
Yeah, because they definitely won't put him in the ring with The Miz.
The Miz!
The Miz!
But if that's the case, could we also be seeing maybe another character change? Where it's... I pose this to Rock, where it's... What would happen if he didn't come back as The Undertaker? What would happen if he came back as Mark? What would people do, aside from my little fangirl heart breaking and me screaming in absolute agony, if he came back with the gray hair and the fedora, basically looking like what he looked like at the Predators game, except hopefully more toned up? What would people do? What would they say?
If he comes out looking like that, people would expect him to be walking out there to say, I'm done.
And maybe
no, no storyline, no match, no nothing. This is him walking out and saying, I'm done.
And maybe that's how you start the storyline.
No, it wouldn't be a storyline deal, though. I wouldn't put it as a storyline. Like, I'm talking, he's walking out and saying, look, I love you guys so much. You've given me everything, but my body cannot go. This is not going to be a storyline. This is nothing. This is me coming out as me saying thank you and goodbye.
Yeah, keep in mind, Taker is the last of the old guard. If he comes out like that, it's not going to be for any storyline purpose. It's going to be to leave.
If he even does that.
He will do something like... He'll do a Ric Flair type deal where they'll celebrate him off-air if he doesn't do a last match.
He's going to break his retirement really... in TNA.
Just without the TNA run. But, you know, he's one of these guys that everybody has that much respect for that you can't let him just disappear. He needs to have one last celebration. Whether it is off air, at least it's something.
If he's coming back
for one last run and one last ride, have him come back the way he started. Bring back Paul Bearer from the dead for the 87th time. Bring back the urn. Bring back the old school. Bring back the gray spats. Bring back the old, old school look for that final day. Let him go out the way he came in.
Bring back the cart he used to ride on.
No, we just want the WrestleMania carts back in general, the mini rings.
Coming soon with WTRFs.
Well, think, he might actually get down to the ring on time.
He does get down to the ring on time. They plan at least 5 minutes for him.
Just imagine if Paul Bearer's leading the way, the Druids are at the sides with their torches, and Taker's on this platform with the vultures in the back, and just completely pimp riding the whole thing down to the ring.
I think he kind of did that. Well, he's kind of done that a couple times.
He's going to have, like, one more match. Let's just throw every entrance he's ever had at the same time.
This is going to sound really wrong, but if that is the case, I really wish they wouldn't waste it on 29. That's really something I would love to see them do at 30, just because 30 is going to be such a huge spectacle. Plus, if it is going to be in New Orleans, think of the tie-ins they could do.
The whole voodoo gimmick.
The whole voodoo gimmick. Like, we actually came up with a scenario where basically they skipped this year, and they have CM Punk in some way, and I forget what the exact scenario was, and I don't remember it now, where he basically becomes obsessed with The Undertaker, fighting The Undertaker, and they then try to find The Undertaker. Where is he? Where is he gone?
You're mixing
94 with
You're mixing with, 94 with Shawn Michaels from like two years ago.
94,
right?
94 with Shawn Michaels.
No, yeah. 94. The Search for the Undertaker, and then a mix of like Shawn Michaels trying to get the match out of the Undertaker.
All right. Yeah.
What I meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where
you mix that and you have Punk, and we actually came up with an interesting tie-in to where The Undertaker is in New Orleans, because when you think of New Orleans, you think of Bourbon Street and Mardi Gras and the cemeteries and voodoo and all that crap, and that's what you see when you think of New Orleans. So you could do a tie-in of New Orleans
all this time it was Papa Shango controlling The Undertaker.
Exactly.
But you basically, that's how you tie in, and you could even do a fan contest where it's, you know, where do you think The Undertaker is hiding in New Orleans? That kind of stuff. Like, you could do a whole marketing tie into it, but basically, The Undertaker is in New Orleans, and the last thing you see before WrestleMania opens is The Undertaker rising from the dead. Like, them bringing The Undertaker back and rising from the dead one more time to accept Punk's challenge.
I just like the idea of the marketing gimmick. where is the Undertaker, and people can like insert him into photos or something on Facebook.
Exactly.
Yeah,
which would be funny because you'd find some people who'd like have him in like a restaurant in Italy or something, or you know,
or watching a hockey game.
In the strip club, you know, at the bar. Yeah.
And then we'll get this one picture with Lindsay and Taker's in her bed. And it's like, what?
No, he'll be like trying to push his way out of my closet. But anyway, but you know, that kind of thing, like where they skip this year, like Taker's supposed to give Punk the match this year, and it never happens. And Punk sees that as really the ultimate sign of disrespect, because his whole thing is respect, right? And you want to build the whole storyline based on respect. Well, the Undertaker basically tells Punk to F off, that he's not going to give him the match, and it just drives Punk absolutely over the wall, where he's on this quest for respect. He's on this quest to prove that he deserves the match with the Undertaker. And so he's trying to prove that he deserves the match while looking for the Undertaker. And you could do it over the year. Yeah. Where it's, I will have this match, I will get it, and I will beat you for your streak.
It becomes his new obsession, and he goes to, you know, the psychics and stuff, and does voodoo magic, and, you know, tries to find the Undertaker.
Now you're stretching it.
But that's, yes, New Orleans.
That's a little too far.
That's New
there's
Orleans.
A, there's a search for an Undertaker, and then there's going back to the Leslie Nielsen search for the Undertaker.
Yeah, well, you know, what you do to get a little bit more realism out of it is you kind of send him down false roads and red herrings where he comes up against other supernatural wrestlers we've had in the past. You know, he follows these clues and he ends up finding, you know, Papa Shango or Mordecai or the Boogeyman. You know, he ends up finding every little creature the WWE's cast off except the Undertaker.
Right.
And you could even have him face off against those guys as gatekeepers to the Undertaker or something like that. Just to build it up a bit more.
Well, if you wanted to build it even further, you could also involve the Ministry of Darkness in that as well. Where
as
he
long
goes,
as they keep their clothes on.
They will keep their clothes on. But, you know, he's searching for the Undertaker.
I want a naked Midian reference or something. Like, he opens a door and goes, oh, God, Midian, and just slams it and walks off.
But, no, think about it. You could involve Edge. You could involve JBL. Like, looking for him, trying to find him, or where he would go. Like, he goes to people that would know the Undertaker. You know, he goes to Paul Bearer. And you could even bring back as a reference, you know, if you want to use all the old stuff from the Undertaker's past, you bring up Paul Bearer's old funeral home segment. The funeral parlor segment. Where Paul Bearer's in the funeral parlor.
Bug the living shit out of Kane. Where's your brother? Where's your brother? Where's your brother? Where's your brother? I don't know!
Yeah, dude, I don't know!
No, I don't!
And the only guy who actually knows where the Undertaker is Brother Love.
Except he's in TNA.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to make the search a lot harder now, isn't it?
I went
and
to Nashville
say it'd be
and
easy.
Brother Love. No, you just haven't mentioned in a promo. I even went to Nashville and talked to Brother Love. Or, you know, I went to Orlando and talked to Brother Love. Because people would pop for the reference. Mind you, it'd be like, I went into the freezer to talk to Paul Bearer.
Can you imagine that? Punk's looking for Paul Bearer, and he goes back to that freezer, and he opens it up, and there's Paul Bearer still in the wheelchair with icicles hanging off his nose. And he's like, where's the Undertaker? And, you know, Bearer's basically like, you know, fuck if I know, I've been in here the whole time. And Punk's like, oh, and just pushes him back in and locks him back in.
Oh, he grabs the box of ice cream bars first.
Yes! No, he grabs the boxes of ice cream bars and they're all empty and he just looks at Bearer.
I had to get by somehow.
I had to live somehow. But, you know, just do that kind of thing where you can make it interactive and you tie it in and you really make it a big deal. Because if it is going to be the Undertaker's supposed last match, you want to make it as big as possible, so why not get the fans involved? you know, as far as WrestleMania weekend, you know, it's help CM Punk find the Undertaker. And you can go around New Orleans to almost do like a scavenger hunt WrestleMania weekend if you want. And like, you know, help find the Undertaker, and you go to different sites and different tourist attractions in New Orleans. Just try and find the Undertaker. You could do that kind of shit with it. And it would work. And it would help to get the fans involved and help make them more money.
Yeah, but as usual, we seem to write stuff extremely well, and they'll steal it, but they won't pay us for it.
But if you'd like to pay us for it, you can send them checks, too.
PayPal it. Rock and Socket, wilddogradio.com.
Yes. Just click on the donate button. So we've gone really over. Sorry about that. We're going to go ahead and just do our last two topics real quick, and then we're going to get out of your hair once we all rant. So, question of the night, number one, because we didn't get a lot of comments for it. What is your favorite Valentine's Day treat?
Jen Schaefer said sex, and Jersey Girl said the sweet and sour candy hearts.
Okay. Interesting mix. By the way, Jed Schaefer found chocolate-covered bacon.
Nice.
I so want that.
It's at Rocky Mountain Candy Company. We'll have to see if we can send you some. So, Omega, Mace, do you have a favorite?
I've been single for the past 5 years. I've had all of one girlfriend on a Valentine's Day, and no.
But that doesn't mean you can't go buy the candy on Half Price Candy Day.
Yeah, Half Price Candy is the best part of Valentine's Day.
And Easter?
No. I wait till Easter. The chocolate tastes better.
All right. Omega?
I'm kind of with Mace on that one. I usually save all of my cash for Half Price Candy Day for Cadbury eggs after Easter.
We should have asked this question at Easter. We may.
Ask it at Easter, even though you've already heard my answer.
All right. Rock, what about you?
Half Price Candy Day tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, my favorite treat outside of, you know, Half Price Candy Day is the cherry-filled Hershey's Kisses, and then the Reese's chocolate heart things. Basically, anything Reese's is like awesome.
So we know now how to get to Lindsay's heart.
Yes.
Reese's pieces.
Or just better dress up as the Undertaker, Dean Wade.
So okay, so Reese's pieces works on Lindsay and ET. Got it.
Lindsay phone home? All right,
what are you doing with that finger?
It's the middle one is steadily raising up and pointing at the computer monitor, especially, you know, when your picture's up.
I love you too.
So let's go on to our other question before we completely lose our audience. What is our favorite wrestling couple?
So, let's go through these really quickly. Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Women and Sandman. DDP and Kimberly. Randy Savage and Liz. Savage and Sherry. Aside from the obvious Savage and Liz, I like Christian and Trish. Beulah and Tommy. We had a Mae Young and Mark Henry.
Sick, go to the corner.
We had an Edge and Lita, or an ODB and EY. We had a Trips and Sean. We had a Beulah and Tommy Dreamer. We had a Bromances with Daniels and Kaz. We had a Billy and Chuck. We had another Beulah and Tommy Dreamer. Somebody, not mentioning any names, Kane Kidd and said McCool and Taker.
Go to your corner!
And
you're back in the corner. I told you where you were on probation. Now back in your corner. I'm sorry. Anyway, continue.
And then we got Jimmy Jimmy Garvin / Sunshine / Precious, Savage Liz, Sean or Savage with Sherry, Gino Hernandez, or Tully Blanchard with Baby Doll? I will give you one guess who put that answer out there.
Would that be the man who missed the personality on Tuesday night?
Correct.
So, all right, we'll go around the room. Omega.
Triple H and the Katie Vick mannequin.
Ooh.
Oh.
No. Should I have a little bit more dignity than that?
Yes, you should.
I should.
You should, but, you know, this is # non-PG TJ Omega.
Honestly, it's... God. I hate to say this because it's so dominated everything, but I'd probably go with Trips and Steph.
You stole my answer. You suck.
Do you want me to go back to the other one?
No.
Okay.
All right, well, Mace.
I was actually going to go Trips and Steph as well. Because it was an actual development of a relationship rather than, yes, they are together outside of real life. Let's just put their wedding on pay-per-view that Savage and Liz was. All right, to go something else, even though it lasted a short time, it got us some extremely good moments and probably one of the oh-my-God-yes outfits I've ever seen on this particular person. I'm going to go Kane and AJ.
Yes!
Mainly due to the Harley Quinn-like outfit.
By the way, was I the only one that noticed the longing glances between AJ and Kane on Monday night?
Yes.
Damn it. All right, what about you, Rock?
Well, since Omega stole mine, I'll throw out... No, I'm going to stick with that one. Triple H and Stephanie. But throw out one, Steve McMichael and Deborah. No. Yeah, I'm going with Hunter.
Because that one involved in the Jarrett and Deborah, then Steve and Deborah, and then an unemployment line and Deborah.
And then Austin and Deborah.
That's who Steve was, dickhead.
Yeah, I'm going with Hunter and Steph. Lindsay?
I'm going with Taker and Steph.
I knew it.
I told you I was going with it the other night.
I know.
I know it's short-lived. I know they weren't really technically a couple, but because
we
got...
He kidnapped her and tied her to a cross.
But we got a wedding out of it, damn it!
They did have a wedding.
Are you sure it was a wedding and not an unholy ceremony that was an abomination to God?
A little from column A.
Have you ever seen what a wedding looks like?
I'm in America. I've seen what an Elvis wedding looks like.
Come on! What the hell else are we ever going to get a wrestling wedding out of The Undertaker? When?
Well,
we're not counting the real life ones.
Because, anyway.
He didn't marry them on TV. He did it in private. When the hell else are we ever going to get a wrestling wedding with the gimmick character, The Undertaker? When?
The day pigs fly.
Like, I am still waiting for the day that they come out and they say the marriage to Hunter is all a sham and Steph is really married to Taker and they're taking over the company. And they lock Vince in a nursing home. I'm just, like, waiting for that.
Keep dreaming, little fanfic girl.
I know. It will never happen, but god damn it, that would make me so happy. And of course, I was going to go Kane and AJ, but I'll say Punk and AJ.
No love to Brian and AJ?
Brian and AJ didn't pick up till, like, the end.
Yeah, keep in mind for most of Brian and AJ, he was a womanizing asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I'm surprised no one has said favorite wrestling couple of all time, John Cena and Kendra Lust.
Too soon,
I'm,
dude.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised nobody brought up Don Marie and Al Wilson.
No.
There are certain wrestling couples that we try to forget.
We could have gone Trish Stratus and Mickie James.
I'm surprised you
didn't
go there.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I'd vote for that one.
Would you consider Trish and Vince a couple?
No.
Well, they had their moments on TV together.
Trish and Lita?
You're hurting Omega now.
But, so, yes. So, those are our favorite wrestling couples. Let's see if we can wrap this up in 7 minutes. So, besides me, who has a rant?
I don't have a rant, but I have a thank you.
Okay.
I will say this quickly now. Thank you, Kane Kittens, for the t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
That is awesome. Thank you very much.
Well done, Kane Kittens.
I would like
a new car if you'd like to send me one.
Bit of a difference between a t-shirt and a car, woman.
I would like an Undertaker.
Yeah, we told you that we can't do that. I have nothing to rant about. Omega?
God, what do I pick?
Can we combine one?
Combine sure. one?
Because I know you'd sort of... You'd sort of agree with this, but fuck you, Toy Fair. My wallet is now crying in a corner because of you, because it knows it's going to be horribly, horribly raped over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I was kind of obsessing over the fact that the Transformer booth was putting out everything I've ever wanted them to do in the history of ever, and then Mace kind of chimed in with, hey, did you see the other booths? Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, Omega and I have sort of sat here for the last few days going, yeah, have a look at this from Toy Fair, have a look from that from Toy Fair, and we're both going, fuck, our wallets are not going to like us for the next 12 months.
I'm going to need to make a lot of videos.
Coming to youtube.com/TJOmega.
The 3 months of toy 3 months of toy reviews, one every day.
I would shoot myself in the head.
90 videos, 90 days.
Think of all the toys you'd be able to afford.
It doesn't really matter if... It doesn't really matter if I've lost my mind, Mace. Because at that point, I'd probably be talking to them like they were real people.
As opposed to now?
Yeah, because you don't do that already?
Only when it's funny.
But yes, fuck you, Toy Fair, and bringing out, like, oh my god, Metroplex and 7,000 other things that we all want. Including Lindsay, who we can throw in that pile because she wants the Kane versus Daniel Bryan 2 set.
But I can wait for that. And my tax return just got accepted, so I'm good.
So, Lindsay...
Okay, mine isn't necessarily wrestling-related. Mine is more religious/political. So if you have a problem with that, if you don't want to hear it, or if you're going to complain, please turn the show off now. Because, yeah, I have a little rant. Just because I know somewhere in heaven my grandmother had a heart attack. For those of you who obviously live under a rock and haven't heard, the Pope stepped down, and while I'm not a practicing Catholic, my family is Catholic. My grandma Ward was very religious, and I know she rolled over in her grave when this came out, that the Pope has stepped down, which I didn't know the Pope could do. I thought
first
it was
time
kind
in
of,
600 years.
Yeah, first time in 600 years. I didn't think it could happen. I don't even know what they're going to call him. Our family is terming him the Dowager Pope. Because we don't know what else to call him. So, yeah, it's...
Pope the lame Nazi.
The lame Pope.
The lame Pope, yeah. I feel a little disappointed and a little cheated. The fact that even though I'm not a practicing Catholic, it's like, really, dude? Really? You stepped down, you quit. You gave up on the church. You were appointed as you're supposed to be God's representative on earth, and you just quit. Yeah, okay. Thank you for restoring my faith in the church. That really makes me feel better.
Well, it is kind of hard to put in your 2-week notice when God hired you.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's not like, you know, he was flipping burgers at a McDonald's and went, fuck this shit, flipped the table and left. He realized that his health was getting in the way of him preaching the word of God. When you take a look at the guy before him, who practically died being Pope, who worked himself to the point of death.
But they've all done that. That's what they do. It's Pope stuff. They worked themselves to death.
Yeah, but do you really want a repeat of Pope John Paul, where he was in such ill health that he couldn't preach half the time, where he couldn't spread the word of God, where even when he could, you couldn't understand a damn word, and that's not just because he was speaking Latin.
Or Polish. The Polish Pope.
Polish.
Represent.
Yeah. But, you know, it's... I reckon he made the better choice, because at least this way, you know you're going to... The next man who gets into that position is going to be of age where he's going to do a long run. You take a look at all the forerunners. Well, you take a look at all the forerunners. They're all guys that are like 60s. You could get at least 20 years out of them. Whereas this guy was 112 going into the job.
Oh, well, I mean, we all, when he got elected, we all knew he was a, and when I say we, this goes back to my family, we all knew he was a temporary pope. He was a title holder until they could elect somebody new. And that's why. Yeah, he's a transitional pope. You know, he's
just waiting for the rock.
Yeah, he's just waiting for the rock. And that's why I'm kind of ranting on this, is I would implore the Catholic Church, not that they care what I think at all, to be wise in your choice, to maybe elect somebody who's not so stuck in their ways, and possibly, I don't know, maybe reform the church and its policies on a couple things, because, well, yeah, they don't quite fit into today's society, and yeah, I get you, the church and your word is law and all that good happy stuff, but
hey,
if
this guy got Twitter. He was the first pope to get on Twitter. That's pretty progressive.
Well,
he was the first pope to be alive during Twitter.
Yeah, to be fair, he was the pope to be alive on Twitter. But I would just implore the Catholic Church to make a wise choice and maybe somebody that's going to help move the church forward as opposed to backwards. Because let's be honest, this pope did not handle certain scandals very well. He kind of sort of screwed everybody, pardon the pun, when it came to the sex scandals and reacted very badly to it. And I'm sorry, if they want to survive and they want to bring disillusioned people like myself back, then maybe they need to rethink some of their policies, because that's why I stopped practicing, is I didn't agree with certain things that they preached. And I wasn't going to support an organization that was basically going to look down upon people, that was going to force people to have children, besides the fact that they couldn't afford them, and a few other things. So it's like, if I can't agree with your policies, I'm not going to practice your faith, so F off. So I would implore the Catholic Church to maybe reconsider some of those policies. And, I don't know, maybe donate some of your freaking art collection.
Yeah, I can agree with every word of that, and I'm sort of going to add on my own personal bit with this. I've been keeping an eye on this, and I'm going to say this, and I excuse the way it comes out, but I'm going to be flat out honest here. And one of these is a joke, the other one isn't, by the way. The guy that you've got as a forerunner from Africa, I'm sorry, but I hope he doesn't get the job. As much as it would be a great historical thing to have a black person as Pope, oh my god, the backlash is going to be insane.
Yeah, it will.
The backlash, if you put a black man as Pope, the backlash will be, you will have so many people denouncing the church. I'm sorry, they are so stuck up in their traditionalist ways. To do something like that would be pretty much very detrimental to trying to rebuild the church. That also being said, please don't pick the French-Canadian guy. Because then suddenly Tim will think that Bret Hart became Pope.
But yeah, so I know they're not going to hear this. I know the Catholic Church doesn't care, but yeah, that's just kind of our opinion on it. And just, oh God, the whole thing, when I heard it, I was like, somewhere up in heaven, my grandma Ward just had an aneurysm because, yeah. Like, y'all don't understand. She was extremely religious. She went to church every day. Almost up until she died. And that the only reason
Wait. Churches are open Monday through Saturday?
They are.
Wow, I thought they were only open on Sundays.
No, they're open every day, and she was there every day to hear Mass up until the last, like, 8 months of her life, and the only reason she couldn't go then was because she was in the hospital. But she still had a priest by every day. So yeah, she was extremely religious. The church meant everything to her, so I can't imagine how she would have felt about this. I mean, I understand the guy stepping down for his health, and bravo for stepping down for his health, but yeah, it's just, I don't even know how to take it. I don't even really know how to react to it other than just feeling betrayed, because it's like, what?
You're pretty much sharing the sentiment of a lot of Christians and Catholics out there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know how to react to this news, because as we said at the beginning of this piece, it's the first time in 600 years that this situation has ever come up. So there's no precedent on how people react to it.
And the last time it happened, it was to close the schism between the Church of East and West.
But yes.
But yeah. Anyway. It's like, yes, moving on. So yes, that is my rant on the Pope and on the Church and everything. So thank you for, if you did listen through it and you didn't get offended, thank you very much. If you did, I do apologize. I did warn you in advance, though. So, on that note, we've gotten through all our rants, we've gotten through all our conversation topics. Who has shit they would like to plug?
You know what? I'll start it off for once. You can follow me on Twitter, at the Mace Thing. Tune in somewhere between 7 to 8pm Eastern tomorrow night, where I will be streaming gaming, WTR Gaming Night, as I have since dubbed it, because basically Mace's Gaming Night sounded a bit egotistical, considering we do play multiplayer games every now and again. This week, we are going to go into the realm of the fighting game, because I feel like having a lazy day without story. At the moment, there is a poll on the WTR Facebook group page where you can vote for which game gets played first. At the moment, UFC 3 is winning, so go in, cast some votes, and tune in tomorrow night somewhere between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern while I play some video games, probably talk to Lindsay and Rock.
Sweet! Alright, Omega?
Well, there's the usual on Twitter. I am TJ Omega. I am also TJ Omega on YouTube, where you can find pretty much everything else I do, which is tjomega.org, my own little shirt site, my little Facebook page, and all manner of billion things I keep myself busy with.
His little Amazon list.
I don't have that listed anywhere yet.
But you can find it if you know the secrets of TJ Omega.
So is that all? Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm just checking. All right, Rock, pimp away.
You guys had this long discussion about the Pope, and you know the easiest way to solve the whole Pope controversy is just watch the movie Eurotrip. It's so simple. They make it so simple. I'm just telling you. Go watch.
I thought the easy solution was wait for Ziggler to cash in.
That too.
I saw that meme. That was amazing. Bravo to whoever did that. That was phenomenal.
Saturday Night Midnight Edition TV Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We'll talk about the Grammys. We'll talk about Elimination Chamber and whatever else we feel like talking about on TV Radio Midnight Edition. Sunday, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, with Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace, and most likely me and Lindsay, talking about Elimination Chamber, and we're having a geek topic, so, yeah, OTL sort of comes to WTR this Sunday night. Monday night, join me and Lindsay for the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, as we'll cover everything that happens on Monday Night Raw, including the possible return of The Undertaker. Maybe. Sort of.
If you hear me weeping at the beginning, you know he came back.
Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Only Alan Wojcik. Steve Corino, the king of old school, makes his return to the program. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back for another edition of Rack next Thursday night. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/WTR on the Rack, WTR on the Rack, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. Follow them on Facebook at CanadianAllPro on Twitter as well, and join their Facebook group as well. There you go.
All right, well, you can, of course, follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com, and, of course, visit it, CassidyRiley.net. Check him out, and, of course, buy his merchandise. Please do. He will appreciate it. You can visit my online portfolio, LinsWard, at DeviantArt.com. And stay tuned, people, because we have some big things coming, and we're very excited. And lastly, if anybody that knows The Undertaker, or for whatever reason, if The Undertaker is listening to the show, I do apologize if I pissed you off. Please don't come and find me and kill me. So,
if somehow tomorrow night you end up on our Twitch TV page, then you'll notice a whole heap of nice, fancy, pretty graphics I made.
Yes. But, so, for Mace, for Omega, for Spug, who tuned out, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Please go visit our sponsors, PWMania.com, for all your news needs. And, of course, go to Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for awesome autograph merchandise. And on that, we're out. See ya!
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
WildTalkRadio.com.